Blog Talk Radio.
Yes, yes, yes. Shavua Tov, Shavua. The week. Tov, 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 Tov. Good, Tawa, beautifully good. 7 days to come. So here, you know, from the Shabbat, here we come to the first day service, a.k.a. also known as Sunday service. But we like to emphasize the Hebraic roots. First day, you know, the only day that really has a kind of a name, so to speak, would be the Shabbat day, you know, the Shabbat day. But in the fulfillment of the Shabbat and also the readings and feedings here for this 35th sabbatical study, the Shabbat strong known as Naso. Naso, very, very interesting because one's from a NASA, you know, and that's half true what you hear about NASA. You know, at least with them saying that NASA means to, NASA means to deceive. A lot of memes out there all over the place, you know, concerning that NASA means to deceive. Well, that's only kind of half true. But based on the perspective that people reading it, you know, from an English perspective, you know, the Holy Spirit, the gift of tongues, is very, very important. That gift that the Holy Spirit provided, according to the testimony, the first gift, was kind of a linguistic gift, but it was for the understanding, comprehension, and that oneness, that communication, that communion. So right here on the end in the Irish, right here with the first day service, lots to unpack, but Nasa means to lift. Nasa, Nasa. In the Hebrew, the biblical Hebrew, Nasha, Nasha means to deceive, Nasha. And so when we investigated this whole thing, it's based on, you know, how people read the things in the book. Sometimes they have these little diacritical marks and everything. And many of these, you know, textbook, academic books, even the linguistic books or dictionaries where they try to give into the Latin or the English a kind of sense of what this other language is saying. If you look at it over the S, it, more times it's like N-A-S-A. And people say, no, you're wrong. And look, it says NASA, but there's a little mark above it, like an inverted, like a V actually. It looks like a V and everything. And that right there is for syllabation or the more of the, not the sa, but the sha. So NASA means to deceive in that sense, Nasha. I think the first usage is in the Hebrew scriptures in HaTorah is when Hawa, the one known as the Isha, the woman, a.k.a. Hawa, Eve, Zoe, you know, when she said that the serpent had beguiled she, you know, so it means to beguile. But Nasa here, we have Naso. The sense of now, Naso, you know, that lifting, Naso et Rosh, right, to lift up the head. So what does it mean, Chaberim? Here we have a Hebrew idiom, literally lift up the head. It's like saying, hold your horses. Is it literally like a person going to hold their horses? You know, somebody says, oh, I feel bubbly. You know what I mean? Are they foaming at the mouth? No, it's a figure of speech, but we have to understand, well, what is the spirit? You know, that's where the spirit, even the Holy Spirit, very, very important to understand what the so-called figure of speech, you know what I mean? So lifting up the head, thou shalt lift up the head. This is a census count that we get right here. First things first right here, a little Rhema tune right here for the first day service, right here. Everton, yes, Everton Blender, lift up your head. Naso et Rosh.
Striving for better, and we're not gonna stop till the battle is won and we get justice. Cause if you lose your stand, anyone will try to push you over. powerful people and they were rich. They endure for a night, but joy cometh in the morning. And if you lose your soul, there's nothing to gain, it will be over.
Said on Sundays, the first day. Sidkinya Sarah Senvetina Yakabram Sohulu Sadikno Wada Ekaziaviheram Lukota Yegeba Commitmentana Yelayena Yohona Fetchmaibel Sidkinya Sarah Senvetin Yakabram so hulu sadikno. Blessed is he who does truth and honors the Sabbath. Let him not question whether he would be outcast from the multitudes if he was to enter into the worship of the sustainer Ekaziaber Cha Rastafari. Blessed is he who does truth, righteousness, and honors the Sabbath, the Senvet.
And right there, the first words from the liturgy of His Majesty, the true church and the professing church right there. That's what's said on the first day that's known in Ethiopia as Ehud. Melkam, Ehud, beautifully good, Ehud, first day, what it said on the first day, and know the reference, you know, to that fulfillment of the seventh day. So fulfilling that seventh day, like with the Shavuot, counting seven Shabbat complete, and then on the morrow, the next day after the Shabbat, next day after the Shabbat is the first day, called Sunday, right here, from the Royal Order of the Ethiopian Hebrews, what is said, the psalm,
for the first day, Psalm 24, right here, here, here.
This is Psalm 24 without apology. Muta Maruka and Luciana, trust me.
Yes, it's the Lord and the fullness thereof.
The earth is the Lord and the fullness thereof.
World and they that dwell
therein. For he hath found it upon the sea.
He hath born and he done the sea.
And established it upon the flood.
Establish it on the flood.
Who shall ascend in the hill of Jacob?
Who shall stand in the hill?
Or who shall stand in his holy place?
Who shall stand in the holy place?
He that hath clean hands.
He that
and a pure heart.
And pure heart.
Who hath not lifted up
who
soul into vanity.
Up his
nor
scorned
his people. He hath received the blessing from Jaja and righteousness from the Almighty of his salvation. This is the generation of them that seek him.
This is the generation that seek him the most high God.
That seek thy face, O Jacob.
Seek thy face, O Jacob.
Lift up your head, O ye gates. And be lifted up, ye everlasting doors. And the King of Glory shall come in.
And the King of Glory shall come in.
Who is this King of Glory?
I say who?
Emperor Haile Selassie.
The King of Glory.
Just strong, mighty.
Just upright.
Just mighty in battle.
Just upright. Mighty in battle, mighty in war.
Who is the King? I say who?
Lift up your head, Zoe Gates. Even lift them up. Everlasting doors.
Be lifted up.
And the King of Glory shall come in.
And the King of Glory. Yes, the King of Glory shall come in.
Who is this King of Glory?
Emperor
Haile Selassie. He is the King of Glory.
Who is the King of Glory?
Jah Rastafari. King of kings, Lord of lords, conquering lion in the tribe of Judah. He makes up himself, light of the world.
Chanted to seal up the Sabbath. Moving into the first day, we have Psalm 144 here. This is on the dub of the Nazarene.
Thank you. 144. Blessed be the Lord my strength, which teacheth my hands to war and my fingers to fight. My goodness and my fortress, my high tower and my deliverer, my shield and he in whom I trust, who subdueth my people under me. Lord, what is man that thou takest knowledge of him, or the son of man that thou makest account of him? Man is like to vanity. His days are as a shadow that passeth away. Bow thy heavens, O Lord, and come down. Touch the mountains, and they shall smoke. Cast forth lightning and scatter them. Shoot out thine arrows and destroy them. Send thine hand from above. Rid me and deliver me out of great waters from the hand of strange children whose mouth speaketh vanity and their right hand is a right hand of falsehood. I will sing a new song unto thee, O God. Upon a psaltery and an instrument of 10 strings will I sing praises unto thee. It is he that giveth salvation unto kings, who delivereth David his servant from the hurtful sword. Rid me and deliver me from the hand of strange children, whose mouth speaketh vanity, and their right hand is a right hand of falsehood, that our sons may be as plants grown up in their youth, that our daughters may be as cornerstones polished after the similitude of a palace, that our garners may be full, affording all manner of store, that our sheep may bring forth thousands and 10,000s in our streets, that our oxen may be strong to labor, that there be no breaking in nor going out, that there be no complaining in our streets. Happy is that people that is in such a case. Yea, happy is that people whose God is the Lord.
Into one of the main themes, Habarim, with the 35th sabbatical, known as Naso, lift up, or interpreted as take. Naso et Rosh, lift up the head, interpreted as take the sum, the census, the head count here, concerning the Levites, you know, in this Torah reading and feeding. But also we have the vow of the Nazirite. Now I'd like to reason on the whole Nazirite and the Nazarene, you know, either connection or disconnection. Many people see a connection. There's an indirect connection, not a direct connection. But right here, in the New Covenant sense, here we got Tony Rebel, Nazarene vow. Yes, sir.
Make them cut off everything coming up, bow, men of your ass. But as you don't know, it's an inborn concept. I'm some long ear guy, we not stop live a lie. But you can't use them for that. But you want to cry, cause I am example. For the ones I, and I is a two-born Rastafari. So we don't bow and we don't go Rasta.
Yes, the Nazarene vow, the Nazarite, as we have here in the Torah reading and feeding the connection of the words Nazarite and Nazarene. I'm getting some more of the detail right there, but the significance is, you know, there's this kind of a vow and that kind of a vow, right? So it's what is a vow? And also with the Shabbat Psalm, Psalm 65. Right, for the first day here, royal order, we have Psalm 61, but we're still in the sabbatical reflections, meditations, meditation here on the first day for the first day service. So we're getting to look a little bit more of the connection of Psalm 65 that corresponds with the royal order and Sabbath Naso, Shabbat Naso, where we have the Nazarite vow. So I'd like to bring that out. But here, just once again, for the first day psalm right here, Prince Farai, Psalm 24.
The earth is the Lord and the fullness thereof, with the earth that deer that dwell therein. For he hath found it up on the sea and established it up on the flood. Who shall ascend unto the hills of the Lord? Or who shall stand in his holy place? He that hath clean hands and a pure in heart, who are not lifted of his souls unto vanity, nor sword deceitfully. He shall receive the blessing from the Lord and the righteousness from the God of his salvation. Yeah. Yeah. This is a generation of them that seek thy face, O Jacob, Selah. Lift up your head, ye gates, and let the kings of glory come in. Who is the King of glory? The Lord mighty, mighty in battle. Lift up thy gates, and let the King of glory come in. Yeah. The earth is the Lord and the fullness thereof. We hear that deer that dwells therein, yeah. For he has found it up on the sea and established it up on the flood. Who shall ascend unto the hills of the Lord? Or who shall stand in his holy place? He that have cleaved and a pure in heart, who are not lifted up his souls unto vanity, nor so deceitfully. He shall receive a blessing from his Lord, and righteousness from the God of his salvation. Yeah. Who have eyes to see, let them see. Fret not thyself because of evildoers, neither envious against workers of iniquity. The earth is the Lord and the fullness thereof, yeah. For he that found it up on the sea and established it up on the flood. Who shall ascend unto the hills of the Lord, or who shall stand in his holy place? He that have clean hands and a pure in heart, who are not lifted up his souls unto vanity, nor so deceitfully. He shall receive a blessing from the Lord. Lift up your head, O ye gates. Lift up thy everlasting door, and let the King of glory come in. Yeah. Down inside the stone was a rolling in a Babylon, a black, black stone was rolling in a Babylon. Daniel saw the stone, yeah. Daniel saw the stone, was a rolling in a Babylon. Daniel saw the stone, black, black stone, yeah. The earth is a lot and the foolish thereof, with ear that deer that dwell therein.
Yes, 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 Prince. Prince Farai, you know, Nazirite, a Nazir, also is one of the Hebrew expressions for a prince. Getting into this Torah reading and feeding unpacking right here, the H5139, the Nazir, consecrated or devoted one, Nazirite, consecrated, devoted one. Also has a sense when applied elsewhere within the Hebrew to untrimmed, like an untrimmed vine, separated, you know, also as a prince, a Nazirite. So we have both the figurative, you know, from the latter in the sense of the unpruned vine, like an unshorn Nazirite. Now, some say there's a false alliteration, you know, lettering connection between Nazirite and Nazareth. Now, if you look at it from the English, it seems to make perfect sense from the English, which has to get into the Hebrew. So there's a good reasonment right here, you know, to unpack, you know, both the not a direct connection, but what is the indirect connection? There is an indirect connection, but linguistically, it's not a direct connection. Although in English, based on this false alliteration, false lettering, we see Nazirite and Nazareth. So if you're just coming from an English-only perspective, you know, you could win that sort of a argument, so to speak, you know, based on the false alliteration. But correctly, we have Nazir, right? And we have Notar. Very, very interesting, that connection with the Hebrew as well. And also in certain prophetic areas of scripture, where it speaks about, you know, the man, you know, this man who is the branch. You know, like to bring that out as well. But right here, just from the Prince Farai in the first day Psalm, Psalm 24, he focused right there, you know, on the earth being the Lord's, you know, the earth she is, Yahweh's, she is Jehovah's in all of her fullness. To right here, to Queen Makeda right here, you know, as well with clean hands coming forward. But we want to go with that Daniel's prophecy. By inspiration, going through Psalm 24, he links with a Daniel prophecy, perhaps with the theme of the Melech HaKabod, the king of gravity, the king of glory, you know, of weight, you know, of merit. Kabod, glory, honor, in the sense of literally the Kabod has to do with weight, you know, heaviness. But then in the next sense of the Hebrew, it's the sense of honor. Somebody was honorable, they have like a weight, not literally on the physical sense, but on the more spiritual, the metaphysical sense, or on the metaphoric sense. But right there, he said, Daniel's prophecy has a lot to do with these end times, the Gentiles. Here's a little excerpt. Daniel chapter 7.
A fiery stream issued and came forth from before him. A fiery stream issued and came forth from before him. Thousand ministered unto him, and 10,000 times 10,000 stood before him. The judgment was set, and the books were opened. I beheld then, because of the voice of the great words which the horns spake, I beheld even till the beast was slain, and his body destroyed, and given to the burning flame. As concerning the rest of the beasts, they had their dominion taken away, yet their lives were prolonged for a season and time. I saw in the night visions, and behold, one like the Son of Man came with the clouds of heaven, and came to the Ancient of Days, and they brought him near before him. And there was given him dominion, and glory, and a kingdom, that all people, nations, and languages should serve him. His dominion is an everlasting dominion, which shall not pass away, and his kingdom that which shall not be destroyed. I, Daniel, was grieved in my spirit in the midst of my body, and the visions of my head troubled me. I came near unto one of them that stood by, and asked him the truth of all this. So he told me, and made me know the interpretation of the These great beasts, which are four kings which shall arise out of the earth. But the saints of the Most High shall take the kingdom and possess the kingdom forever, even forever and ever. Then I would know the truth of the fourth beast, which was diverse from all the others, exceeding dreadful, whose teeth were of iron and his nails of brass, which devoured, brake in pieces, and stamped the residue with his feet, and of the ten horns that were in his head, and of the other which came up, and before whom three fell, even of that horn that had eyes, and a mouth which spake very great things, whose look was more stout than his fellow. I beheld, and the same horn made war with the saints, and prevailed against them, until the Ancient of Days came, and judgment was given to the saints of the Most High. And the time came, the saints possessed the kingdom. Thus he said, the fourth beast shall be the fourth kingdom upon earth, and shall be diverse from all kingdoms, and shall devour the whole earth, and shall tread it down, and break it in pieces. And the ten horns out of this kingdom are ten kings that shall arise, and another shall rise after them, and he shall be diverse from the first, and he shall subdue three kings. And he shall speak great words against the Most High, and shall wear out the saints of the Most High, and think to change times and laws. They shall be given into his hand until a time and time and the dividing of time. The judgment shall sit, and they shall take away his dominion to consume and to destroy it unto the end, unto the end, unto the end, unto the end. And the kingdom and dominion and the greatness of the kingdom under the whole heaven shall be given to the people of the saints of the Most High, whose kingdom is an everlasting kingdom, and all dominions shall serve and obey him. Hitherto is the end of the matter. As for me, Daniel, my cogitations much troubled me, and my countenance changed in me. But I kept the matter in my heart, my heart, my heart, my heart, my heart, my heart, my heart.
Rastafari, who liveth and reigneth with I and I continually ever faithful, ever sure. Jah, Rastafari, with no apology. And this is the Rastaman vibration.
Rasta is something from your heart, from your heart.
Yeshua Shalom, Rastafari Chabarim, Yeshua Shalom, here. Gonna reflect on the Shabbat Psalm in the season according to royal order, corresponding with this 35th sabbatical study, Naso, the Psalm, and also the theme in the Psalm concerning the vow, like prayer, stillness, and the vow. But first, right here, in the English and the Hebrew on the K. Becca dub wise, earth is the Lord's. Yes, I.
Psalm 65. Praise waiteth for thee, O God in Zion, and unto thee shall the vow be performed. O thou that hearest prayer, unto thee shall all flesh come. Iniquities prevail against me. As for our transgressions, thou shalt purge them away. Blessed is the man whom thou choosest and causest to approach unto thee, that he may dwell in thy courts. We shall be satisfied with the goodness of thy house, even of thy holy temple. By terrible things in righteousness wilt thou answer us, O God of our salvation, who art the confidence of all the ends of the earth and of them that are afar off upon the sea, which by his strength setteth fast the mountains, being girded with power, which stilleth the noise of the seas, the noise of their waves, and the tumult of the people. They also that dwell in the uttermost parts are afraid at thy tokens. Thou makest the outgoings of the morning and evening to rejoice. Thou visitest the earth and waterest it. Thou greatly enrichest it with the river of God, which is full of water. Thou preparest them corn, when thou hast so provided for it. Thou waterest the ridges thereof abundantly. Thou settlest the furrows thereof. Thou makest it soft with showers. Thou blessest the springing thereof. Thou crownest the year with thy goodness, and thy paths drop fatness. They drop upon the pastures of the wilderness, and the little hills rejoice on every side. The pastures are clothed with flocks. The valleys also are covered over with corn. They shout for joy. They also sing.
מזמור סמך למנצח מזמור לדוד שיר. לך דומיה תהילה אלוהים בציון, ולך ישולם נדר. שומע תפילה עדיך כל בשר יבואו. דברי עוונות גברו מני, בשענו אתה תכפרם. אשרי תבחר ותקרב, ישכון חצריך, נשבעה בטוב ביתך, קדוש היכלך. נוראות בצדק תעננו, אלוהי ישענו, נפתח כל קצווי ארץ וים רחוקים. מכין הרים בכוחו, נעזר בגבורה, משביח שעון ימים, שעון גנדיהם והמון לאומים. ויראו יושבי קצוות מאותותיך, מוצאי בוקר וערב תרנין. פקדת הארץ ותשוקקיה, רבת תכשרנה. פלג אלוהים מלא מים, תכין דגנם, תכן תכיניה. תלמיה רבי, נחת גדודיה, ברביבים תמוגגנה, שמחה תברך. עיטרת שנת טובתך, ומעגליך ירעפון דשן. ירעפו נאות מדבר, וגיל גבעות תחגורנה. לבשו חרים הצון, ועמקים יעטפו בר, יתרועעו אף ישאירו.
Yes, yes, okay, Becca Dub right there. Earth is the Lord's. Yes, that also corresponds with the first day psalm, both Judaically and according to the ancient royal order of the Ethiopian Hebrews. And the testimony behind that is that these psalms, the evening psalm here for the first day, as we know, according to the scripts, evening and morning is one day. So here in the eve, before the forward of the day, right here, here, here. Because in the beginning, it says there's no night, right? Evening and morning, one day. Evening and morning, one day. So right here, let's ride up with Psalm 65, a psalm that corresponded here in the season with Shabbat Naso, Sabbath take or Sabbath lift up, the census count, the head count. Here with the head of the year, we have this psalm that appears for the new year, both ecclesiastically, according to the Hebrew church in the wilderness, within that Passover time, the spring season, and also at the end of the year with the first and the latter rain. So right here, 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 right
up. For with stammering lips and another tongue, for with stammering lips and another tongue, for with stammering lips and stammering lips and stammering lips and stammering lips and stammering lips. For with stammering lips and another tongue, and another tongue, to this place, speak to this place, speak to this place, speak to this place, speak. For with stammering lips and another tongue will he speak to this people. To whom he said, this is the rest wherewith ye may cause the weary to rest, and this is the refreshing. Yet they would not hear, would not hear, would not hear, would not hear, would not hear.
They would not hear, but Shema Yisrael, Shema, Shema Rastafari. Psalm 65, a harvest hymn. Here's an overview of
the psalm that seals up the sabbatical study for Shabbat Naso, seeing that it rises on the daily psalm for the Shabbat day, and it has a theme of the vow and performing or fulfilling the vow. In Hebrew, the Yishulam Neder, the Yishulam Neder. So the Neder is the vow. Right? So here it's going to cover another Torah portion, reading and feeding, but it can bring out the essence of the root idea of the Nazarite vow. We might give emphasis to the Nazarite and the Nazarene, Nazareth connection or disconnection, or how it's related, but in what way it's not related. But here, let's focus on the theme of the vow, coming from the Hebrew perspective. Also, seeing that the harvest hymn corresponds with the Shavuot in this season right here.
Matot and Messiah, and Matot, it picks up with vow, with the Torot, the direction, instructions, the law concerning the vow, the law concerning vows. So a harvest hymn, a song of praise to Elohim for the prospect of an abundant harvest. This is the subject of today's daily psalm, Mizmor Samech He. Mizmor Samech He, Psalm 65, Psalm LXV. A harvest hymn. In addition to extolling him, Elohim, for his bounty, the nature of nature, nature of nature is Elohim for his bounty. The poet here is Davidic, a psalm, a song of David. The poet alludes to a recent deliverance of the nation from peril. Interesting, as we just compared today's daily psalm, according to royal order in our Torah reading and feeding here, this double portion, Matot, and the contents. No known period in David's life can be quoted for its background, some say. Ibn Ezra held the opinion that it was not composed by David, but by a choirster for the occasion of the building of the Heikal, or the Beit HaMikdash, of the temple. Delitzsch, who is conservative in his views, he connects the Mizmor chant with Isaiah Yeshaya, Isaiah chapter 37 and 10, Isaiah XXXVII and 10, and propose as its date the third year after the retreat of the Assyrian army from the land of Yehuda, from the land of Judah, in the reign of Hezekiah. Now, this psalm has affinities with XLVI, with Psalm 46, that belongs to that period. And some say this is a kind of a theory of the connection of this psalm with other areas of the scriptures. So today's daily psalm and Psalm 46 is said to belong to the same period. Now, hold on for a moment. We want to just read that verse right there. Find ourselves, you know, sometimes we'll quote a quote, they'll say, oh, this is like this area over here in this place or that place. Let's just read it for ourselves and see whether, you know, see if this makes sense, right? So here we have Isaiah chapter 37 and 10, verse 10. Thus shall y'all speak to Hezekiah, king of Yehuda, king of Judah, saying, let not thy God, thy Elohim, thy power, in whom thou trustest, deceive thee, saying, Jerusalem shall not be given into the hand of the king of Assyria. That's the verse right there. Maybe have to check out the Hebrew of it, because sometimes there's a slightly difference in numbering, but it does make some sense, at least with the Assyrian, as they say, propose the date as the third year after the retreat of the Syrian army from the land of Judah in the reign of Hezekiah. But here's what we want to zoom in on right here. We're going to write up the royal Amharic first, you know, but here just touching on a little Hebrew foundation of today's daily psalm along with this Torah reading and feeding. One of the first items we have in this double portion here in Matot, or tribes, is the vow, right? So here, today's daily psalm, a little bit of the Hebrew here. Lam natsiach mizmor le David Sher, for the leader, for the chief musician. Lam natsiach, for the overcomer. Mizmor, a psalm, a chant, le David, of David. or for David, could be brought out in the Hebrew as of David, for David, shir, a song. Lam natzeah mizmor l'David shir. That's the superscription, but in the Hebrew, that's the first verse. As we often mention, that gives a better context. But here, verse 1 in the KJV, which is verse 2 in the Hebrew, Lekha dumiya tehilai lohim b'tzion. U lekha yeshulam neder. Praise, Isis, praise waiteth for thee, O Elohim. Lekha dumiya tehilai Elohim b'tzion. And to thee, ulka, and to the eye, to the ka, to the eye male, the vow is performed. Yeshulam neder. Now, in that word Yeshulam, from shalom, where we get like even shalom from. Shalom is to pay, right? To pay, like to make peace is also to pay. So the word for peace also has a sense, right, Hebraically, to pay. And here we get another sense of the shalom, where we get the shalom sense from. Here in the first verse here, in today's daily psalm, when we're reading the English, let's get the KJV over here. KJV says this right here. It says, praise waiteth for thee, O God in Zion, and to thee the vow be performed. Okay, it's basically the same there. I thought it would be different. Just wanted to check. So let's break this down right here. The first part of the verse, even though the English reads that way, what does it mean? Like, praise waiteth for thee. Lika, dumiya. Alright, dumiya. We went into dumiya before because doom is like to be silent. Dumiya. Dumiya is almost like a feminine sense, right? Speaking both of the prayer, tehillah, and also of the nefesh, the soul. Lika dumiya, tehillah, the praise, tehillah, where we get the ililta, the ililililil, that's like the outer act, you know, remember the physical and the metaphysical, so the physical sense of the tehillah is that sound, that exaltation, that ililta, right? The tehillah, halal, like you say, hallelujah, right? Do that for Yah, right? Literally, in the physical sense, right? And in the more metaphysical sense, praise, which is like that exaltation, like that ililililil, that ililta. Tehillah, Elohim, b'tzion, in Zion. Praise waited for thee. Now, the Hebrew is to be compared with Psalm LXII and 2, Psalm 62, Psalm 62 and 2. Let's go over here, Psalm 62. I know I probably went over this, but it just seems so fresh right here. Let's go to, only for God doth my soul wait in stillness, the English, the plain English. Only for God doth my soul wait in stillness, from him cometh my salvation. Is this how King James Version reads it right here? It says right here in KJV, it says, Truly my soul waiteth upon God. From him cometh my salvation. From him my salvation. As the word cometh there is italicized. So that means that it's not there in the Hebrew sense. It says, from him my salvation. So here they compare the opening verse of today's daily psalm, Psalm 65, a harvest hymn, concerning the idea of waiting, in the Hebrew sense, the idea of waiting. Here we have in Psalm 62, Mizmor Kaf Beit, which is the one sure refuge, is themed the one sure refuge. Ak il Elohim, dumiya nafshi, mimenu yeshuati. Only for Elohim doth nafshi, my soul, my psyche, she waits in stillness. From him, my salvation. Mimenu, yeshuati. Mimenu, from him, yeshuati, my salvation. So here we have the word ak. Ak here in the Hebrew, not ach is brother, but we have ak. Ankh here is very distinctive, has a sense for sure, truly. It's a distinctive word in Psalm 62. It occurs six times in Psalm 62. Ankh, for sure, truly, no doubt about it, for sure, truly. To Elohim alone and to nobody else, no one else, he turns, right, in the hour of need. But he's speaking of his soul. He's speaking of she, right? He's speaking of she, in he. He's saying, Ankh, for sure, il Elohim, to Elohim, dumiyah, dumiyah, she being silent, dumiyah, nafshi, nafshi, my soul, mimenu, from him, yeshuati, from him, my salvation. So the stillness here, the silence, humble resignation, and quiet confidence, quiet confidence. So comparing today's daily psalm, both in the Hebrew and even the English translation, the sense of it. So praise here in Psalm 65, praise waiteth for thee, compared with Psalm 62, right, in the KJV, the first verse. Only for Elohim doth my soul, doth she wait in stillness, does she wait silently. On this analogy, and the probable meaning here is that praise like prayer, praise like prayer is often truest when in deep and still devotion it waits in the presence of Elohim. So prayer like praise is often truest when the soul, I would say, when the soul, bringing out that sense of the soul, when the soul is in that deep and that silence, that dumiyah, that doom, silent devotion, it waits for the presence, the face, the perspective of the power. The concourse of people in the Heikal, in the Beit Mikdash, in the Holy House, in the Temple, looks forward in reverential silence for the service, for the Aboda of thanksgiving, of Torah, Tawada, to begin. So here's bringing out the sense of even worship and aggregational worship. That's why some see it as maybe perhaps also having a later application to the Hebrew and the Israelite liturgy and service, you know, before we begin the service, you know, like that be still and know in that silence. But now to the main point here for this Torah reading and feeding concerning the subject matter of vow. Ulika, u and li for ka, for the I male. Ulika, and for the I male, speaking to Ha'ilahim, speaking to Elohim. Yeshulam, yeshulam, it being paid, it being performed, it being shalomed, it being made whole, to say made whole, holistic. But the direct sense here is like in the sense of paying a vow. So when we say pay your vow, or the vows to be paid, it comes from the shulam, shalim, right, the shalom root. Yeshulam, neder, neder, the vow, the neder. Perhaps to be understood, some say in a collective sense of vows, those speaking of the vow in the singular sense, is speaking of it in the singularity of the principle, that the vow, all vows, right, promises, right, made during times of distress, promises, the yea and the amen, oh Jah, if you get me out of this situation, I will do this or I won't do that. Once again, what is a vow? A basic definition of a vow is a word sound given, right, in Yahuwah, in Jehovah, either to do something, giving one's word in Jehovah to do something or to abstain from doing something. So it's not just in a common sense, even though it should apply to all uses of our word. As we say, one's word is one's bond. But the direct sense of this right here, even when it puts the emphasis on the man, whether the father or the husband, but yet for the father or the husband, if they make a vow, in other words, a vow in Yahuwah's name, yeah, I would do this, O Jah, I would do this. O Jah, if you do this for me, I would do this. O Jah, if you do this for me, or don't let this happen, I won't do this. You know, paying that vow, or I would offer, also is brought out more directly in the context of Torah, is I will make some sort of an offering, right? I'll make some sort of offering, right, to Jah. I will perform some offering. We see David bringing that out often in the Psalms, right, when he says, you know, you know, he will pay his vow. He will make that peace. Yeshulam Neder. Just like a little overview right here, brothers and sisters, right here. But I thought that was interesting, like the opening words right here, touching on the vow right here, here, here. Like to write up the Royal Amharic. Here we have the harvest hymn, Harvest on the Way. This is Earl 16. We're going to share the Ake Becca, Vaughn Benjamin, Earth is the Lord's in the forward. And hopefully, you know, we don't get a kind of a like a flag in the back channel of our live stream. If so, it might just take us a moment to just edit the part out so that ones can hear the fuller fullness. But here, here, here.
مزمور سلسارات بقلب سلسام لمزمران عليك يداويتي مسجانا مزمور عبيتو بسيون لانتا مسجانا يجبا لانتا مسألوتي كربا سقاهو اللوس ألوتنو دمت سماع ودان سيمت يامت آن قربرة تاب حتى اتاكشن الانسان تيكر تلان انتي مرقتو بعد دبابا وجهم لما دير يتقبلكو مسجون كبيته بركة نتقبال بيته مكدسك الدوسنو بطدك امدنكنو بمدر داري چاهو اللونا بروك باهر وستلالو تسفاتشو يهون عملاكات چننا مدهاني تات چن هوي سمان بقلبته ترارو چنات انهاج بهاي لمتات قهال يباهرون تلكت يموغدون مجوه التاننا وطال كتامرات يتنسى أهزاب دنقت عالو بمدر داري چام يمينو روي فرالو يتوهات النايماتان موش آدست تاسنجات چوال مدرن قوبينيهات آتت آهاتم فلتق النوانم مججقا بزا يكزيافير ونز وحاني تمولانو مقبات چونا الزقا جه اندهو تاسنات دالهن تلموان تاركال بويوانم تاستكاكلال بنطبطاب ثانسلساتال بقايوانم تباركال بچرنته امتن تاقداجال مدر بداوم سبن يطغوا يا مدر بدا تراروچ يركال كروبتوچم بدستا يتطاطق ما سماريوچ منغوچن لبسو شلقوچم بهل تشفنو بدستا يچوحالو يزمرالو
Psalm 65. Praise waiteth for thee, O God in Zion. Psalm 65. Praise waiteth for thee, O God in Zion, and unto thee shall the vow be performed. O thou that hearest prayer, unto thee shall all flesh come. Iniquities prevail against thee. As for our transgressions, thou shalt purge them away. Blessed is the man whom thou choosest, and causest to approach unto thee, that he may dwell in thy courts. We shall be satisfied with the goodness of thy house, even of thy holy temple. By terrible things in righteousness wilt thou answer us, O God of our salvation, who art the confidence of all the ends of the earth, and of them that are afar off upon the sea, which by his strength setteth fast the mountains, being girded with power, which stilleth the noise of the seas, the noise of their waves, and the tumult of the people. They also that dwell in the uttermost parts are afraid at thy tokens. Thou makest the outgoings of the morning and evening to rejoice. Thou visitest the earth and waterest it. Thou greatly enrichest it with the river of God which is full of water. Thou preparest them corn when thou hast so provided for it. Thou waterest the ridges thereof abundantly. Thou settlest the furrows thereof. Thou makest it soft with showers. Thou blessest the springing thereof. Thou crownest the year with thy goodness, and thy paths drop fatness. They drop upon the pastures of the wilderness, and the little hills rejoice on every side. The pastures are clothed with flocks. The valleys also are covered over with corn. They shout for joy. They also sing.
Oh, let the righteous be glad. Let them rejoice before God. Before God.
Rastafari. Glam. Rastafari. Glam. Rastafari.
Bring forth the Bible. Bring forth the Bible. Bring forth the Bible.
Salam ta. Einai yistalim. Today's daily psalm from the Mezmore Dawit, from the Psalms of David, from the Metzav Kedus, Book of the Seven Seals of Gormawi, Kedamawi, Haile Selassie, the Book of the Seven Seals. Here we have Mezmore Silsa Hamis. Mezmore, psalm, chant, intonation, vocal, word, sound, power. Silsa, 60. Amis, 60 and 5, 65, the 65th psalm and theme. Yeah, Miskana Mezmor, Miskana, thanks, praises in the royal Amharic. Yeah, Miskana, yeah, of Miskana, of thanks and praises, Mezmor, a chant, an intonation, a vocal. Yes, I have vocal praises, word, sound, power. Now, in the Sefer Tehillim, today's daily psalm is themed. It's Mezmor Samek Hey, Psalm LXV, 65th psalm is themed, a harvest hymn. Speaking to the theme, Chaberim, Machibertenyo, Chtekam as Amorit, fellows, yes, I, fellow disciples of the King of Kings Christ. It's themed, a harvest hymn, and here, we're in this season, right, even the reason for the season, the counting of the Omer, yes, I, how is it going, how is it growing, Mekai and I ride up. Besama'av, Wewelid, Wemenfes, Kedus, Ahadu, Amlak, in the name of the Father and the Son and the Holy Spirit. One source in Jemrale. We beginning with the superscription. Le Mezemran Aleka. Yeah, Dawit, yeah, Miskana Mezmor. To the chief musician. Le Mezemran Aleka. To the chief of the Mezemran, the chanters of the Mezmor, even this Mezmor, Mezmor Redawit. This is a song, a praise. Right, a song, Mezmor, and it's a song of Dawit, of the well-beloved. Yeah, Dawit, yeah, Miskana Mezmor. Now, that's the KJV right there. We have in the HSV, Haile Selassie version, as we compare and contrast here side by side, we have, yeah, Dawit of David, yeah, Miskana, of praises, Isis, praises, Mezmor, a chant, an intonation of thanks, of thanksgiving. Kuter An, verse 1. Avetu Belzion Laante Miskana Yigebal Laante Matzeloti Karbal. Praise waiteth for the eye, O God, O true good. Avetu, we have Avetu, my father, his father, Av of the bait of the house. Avetu Belzion Laante Miskana Yigebal Miskana, praises, thanksgiving. Le ante, speaking directly to he who be, who he be, his divine majesty. Be Sion, in Zion, even the African Zion. Be Sion, le ante, Miskana yigebal. Miskana is due, is proper, is worthy in a sense, it enters in, is proper, is due. Le antem, and to the eye, male. Le antem, and for the eye, male. Elot. Prayer is offered, prayer is brought near, prayer is presented. Now the KJV has, and to, not un, you know, strike the UN, un, but to the I, male, shall the vow. Now here we have, from the Hebrew sense of it, we have the vow, to thee shall the vow be performed. Not getting into the details right here, but it's important for the Chaberim, the Machavetenyoch, for the Dekha Mezamorit, for I and I, to get into the details. With this first verse on the Mezmore Dawit, from the Psalms of David, according to the royal order of the Ethiopian Hebrews, and here after the order of Melchizedek, of the righteous king, the king of righteousness, the king of justice, the king of truth, Gormawi, Kermawi, Haile Selassie. We have in this harvest hymn, Exiavia's abundant favor to earth and
and to man. There's a note right here, as we still are at this first verse, right? But also in the Hebrew, the superscription is included often, to the chief musician, to the musical director, a psalm of an ode, of a praise, a miskana to David, of Dawid. We also have, and this is maintained in some of the orthodox notations to the psalm, Jeremiah and Ezekiel, out of the words of the strangers when they were about to go out. This is included in the true church, right? The true church, right? Within the professing EOTC, the true church of he who has the keys of great King David. So we have this first verse, Now, the Hebrew corresponds to the sense of there shall be silence before the eye and praise in Sion, O Elohim, true good, true God, and to the eye, the vow shall be performed. It is becoming to the eye, a hymn, O Elohim, in Sion, Abitu, our fathers, father, father of the house, Beth Sion, Le'ante, Miskana Yigabal, Le'ante, Elohi Karbal, and to the eye shall be rendered the vow. Now, the LXX has the vow in Yerushalayim, in Jerusalem, but here in the midst of Kedus of Negusa Neges, it has Le'ante, into the eye male, Elot, Elot, prayer, Elohi Karbal. Will be presented, is presented, is brought near. Kuter Hulet, verse 2. Sigahulu elotina wada mitisama wada ante yimeta. O thou, the eye, that hearest prayer, to the eye shall all flesh come. Sigahulu, siga, flesh, hulu, all. Elotin, prayer, elot, prayer, elotin. The subject of the verb, elotin, prayer, wadamitisama, to the eye who hears, to the eye who hears, wadante, to ante, to the eye male, yimetam, it comes, oh, prayer comes, oh, thou that hearest, prayer, to the eye shall all flesh shall come, to the one who hearest, elot, prayer, kutel source, verse 3. Iniquities prevail against me. As for our transgressions, thou the eye shall purge them away. That's the KJV. Here, Nemetzav Kedus for Kuter Source, verse 3. Ye Ametza Negara Berreta Bin. Ye of Ametza, rebellion. Right, sometimes translated as iniquity with a sense of rebellion. Yeah, ametza, ametza. Yeah, ametza, negar, negar, a thing, a matter, a word, a conversation, a thing, a matter of rebellion. Beretta bin, beretta is vigorous, is strong. Beretta bin, against I, strengthen, is vigorous against I and I and I. Here, we don't have the sense of beretta bin, against just me or I, but against I and I. Beretta bin, yeah, ametza, negar, beretta bin. Chatia tachnissen, I and I chatiat, I and I ukri, I and I ukri, I and I falling short, I and I missing the mark. Ante yikr tilale. And as for I and I sin, as for I and I ukri, missing the mark. Chatia tachniss, ante yikr tilale, ante the I, male, yikr tilale. The I says yikr, forgives. Yikar, let it remain. Yikar, yikar. The eye says yikar. The eye forgives. Yikar tilale. Kuter arat. Verse 4. Ante yemeret ahoa ba'ada babayochihima lemadir yetekabel hoa miskunno kabeitihi barreketain tekbalen. Blessed is the man whom thou choosest and causes to approach to the eye, that he may dwell in thy courts. We, I and I, shall be satisfied with the goodness of thy house, even of thy holy, thy Isla temple. Bamarinya, in them harag, the midst of Kedus, reads, Ante the eye, ye meret aho, the one who you meret, the one who you choose, your chosen. It's interesting when we compare with the Ge'ez, the sense of the Cherui, the one who is chosen. And in the eyes courts, and in the eyes Adababayoch, we have the Adababai, a square, Adababayochehim, in the eyes courts, Lemader, to spend the night, to dwell. Yetekabelho, the one who the eye receives. Miskunno, miskunno. Here we have this sense even the first, Mezmoran, the first song. Blessed is the man, right? Happy is the man. Praise worthy is the man. Praise worthy is he. Yetekabel ho, the one who you kabbalah. Kabbalah, yetekabel ho, miskunno, ka beitih barakatin tekbalen, ka beitih, from the eyes house, ka beitih, barakat, barakat, blessing, baraka, barakat in tekbalen, we, I and I will be satisfied, I and I will be satisfied with the barakat, with the blessedness, the blessing, ka beitih, barakat in tekbalen, from the eyes house, kutar amis, verse 5. Beta Mekdesih Kedusno Besitkin Ikno Bemidra Darta Huluna Be Ruka Bahir Wista Lalu Tesfacho Yahone Amlakachin Named Hanetachin Hoy Siman Siman by terrible things, fangs in righteousness wilt thou, the I, male, answer us, I and I, O God, O true good of I and I salvation. Who art the confidence, the eifidence of all the ends of the earthly plane, and of them that are afar off upon the sea? Bamarinya, the Metzav Kedus, and the Gus Neges, it reads here in Kutar Amis, Beta Mekdesih, Beta, the house of Mekdesih, of the eyes holy, the eyes Isla, Kedus, no. Beta Mekdesih, Kedus, no. The house of the eyes Isla, holy is Isla. There's it Kim, and in Siddiq, in righteousness, dinkno, dinkno. People talk about dinknesh, we say dinkno. It is awesome. It is wonderfully amazing. The midr dar cha huluna, the midr in the earthly plane, dar cha, the en hulu onna, and the ruk bahir wist in the far off, bahir, the far off sea. The ruk bahir wist lalu, those who be, tesfa cho, there, tesfa. Their hope, their expectation, Yehonih, Yehonih, the I be, Amlakachna, our Amlak, our source, and Medhanitachin Hoy, oh, I and I source, and I salvation, Siman, Siman, here, Siman, here, I and I, Kutar Siddis, verse 6. Begulbetih terarochinat nahacho. Behailim tatakahal. Behailim tatakahal. Which, who, really, they say which here, KJV says which by his strength, but who, he who be, who he be is the one who, by his strength, setteth fast the mountains. Behailim tatakahal. Being girded with power, gulbetih, and in the eyes, gulbet, in the eyes, power, and that is by strength, in the sense of the gulbet, gulbetih, but gulbetih, in the eyes, strength, terarochin, the mountains, atzenahacho, the eye, male, set is fast, set is firm, the mountains, bechailim, bechail, chail, power, bechailim, and in power, katikahal, kutar sabat, verse 7. Yeah, Bahiruna Tilketa, Yemoged Nimma Chuheta, Tanautale. Which, it says which, but he who be, we be is the one who stilleth, who stilleth the noise of the seas, KJV says, which stilleth the noise of the seas, the noise of their waves and the tumult of the people. Yeah, Bahiruna Tilketa, Yemoged Nimma Chuheta, Tanautale. Interesting, interesting right here. Interesting, this seventh verse right here. Because it says, the translation brings out Yabahirun Tilket, right, of the sea, of his sea. The Tilket, the depths, Yamoged Dinim Chuhet, and the shout of the Moged, of the waves. Tanaut Ale, right, causing it to, it's interesting, causing it to shake, causing it to move, tanawet, right, to move, tanawet, ale, almost like to quake, kutar cement, verse 8. Kata amratih yatanesa ahizaba yednegtalu, bemidr darchama yaminoru yifaralu. Yetawatna yematana maucha desa tasinyachwale. They also that dwell in the uttermost parts are afraid at thy tokens. Thou makest the outgoings of the morning and evening to rejoice kutar cement right here, ka ta'amratih, and from or due to the eyes I find in intel, doings of divine, I find intel. Some would translate this as miracles, but getting to the is root, it has to do with that gnosis, as I find knowledge, but this knowledge often is beyond man's comprehension. So what it says, the tokens by thy amazing deeds, thy awesome, you know, thy signs. Some bring it out as thy signs, thy amazing signs. Kata amratih yatanesa. Ahizab, the peoples, the Goyims, the international community, the peoples, Yidnegatalu, they are in a mental state of shock. The Midr Darcham, and in the ends of the earthly plane, Yeminoru, Yisaralu, and those who dwell, those who be in the earthly plane's edge, in the edge, in the end of the earthly plane, they are respectfully afraid. Yet what na ye matana mocha, yet what, the tuat, the morning, yet what na, and ye matan, the mata, the evening, mocha, the coming out, the going out, des, happy, tasenya chuale, the eye causes them happiness, the eye causes them joy, kuter zeteng, verse 9. Midrina gobenyahat, atetahatim, Bill Ignawa Nema Ijiga Beza. Yeah, because you have Rina Wenza Wahani Yet Milano. Nigabachuina Zagaja. Indeed, who are Tasena Dalena? Thou, the eye, visitest the earth. The eye visits the earth. Midrin, the earthly plane. Midrin, Waben Yahat. You visit her. You visit her, the earth, the earthly plane, midrinna gwebin yahat, at ahatim, and water is ha, you water is her. Billat ignawanima ijig abizza, thou greatly enriches it, because it's increased greatly, the riches of ha. Billat ignawanim, her riches, ijig abizza, the eye, male, causes it to increase, to become bizu, abizza. Yeah, because yavi harina wenza wuhana yetamilano. The river, the stream of a gaziyar, you have the sustainer, the good, the generous, the open-handed Ab, Father, Wuha, water, yetamilano is full. It is full. The stream of a gaziyar, you have the sustainer, is full of Wuha, water, migabachawin. Their food, their migab, right? Their food, the edible things, migbachawina azagaja, you prepare, the eye male prepare. In the who, and like this, tasanadalehina, you provide, the eye provide, and like this, this is how the eye provide. Now, KJV says, thou visitest the earth and waterest it, thou visitest her and waterest her. Thy male greatly enriches her with the river of a gaziyavi, her sustainer, which is full of water. Thou preparest them corn. It has corn here. Bamarinya, it says, Mikbachawin azagaja, preparing that which is edible food. When thou hast so provided for it, in dihu, and like this, tasinadalahinna kutarasar, verse 10. Kalimwana tarakale. Boy wanim tasa tekakalale ben etabta tasel ta talesel. Speaker, hold right here. Let's get the hard copy right here, because sometimes there may be a typo. I think I'm perceiving a typo here that is in the digital transcription. And, you know, God bless those who have done that work. We're just going through a work walk right here, right? And here at this verse right here, right? So we have ta le sel satale. Let's check this out right here, because when we read this before, at this particular verse, we had recall our that muscle, our muscle memory had read this differently. Okay, boy, boyuanima taste kakalale benet abtaba tale sele satale bukayawanima tebarkale. Thou waterest the ridges thereof of her abundantly. Kalimwa. Kalimwa, her ridges, Kalimwan, Tarakal, as our waters cause it to be wet. The eye male causes her to be wet, the ridges thereof. Boiwanim, Boiwanim, Kasa Tekakalal, thou settlest the furrows thereof, causes to be settled, level, level, causes her to, her furrows to level up. Ben Tekabatale, Selesatale, thou makest it, KJV says, makest her soft. With showers or with the drops, so the drops, ben the tep top, and the tep top, the drips, ben the tep top, ta le sel satale, bukayawanim, tibarkale. Thou makest it soft with the drops, the showers. Thou blessest, blessest, tibarkale, the eye male, blessest the springing thereof, the bukayawa, her springing, bukayawa. Her, the shoots of that, the growth, as the growth is, so the idea of the springing is the shooting up of that, of the growth, of the new growth, because this psalm is a harvest psalm. Kutar asara, asara an. The chernetih ametina tak edajal, midre bedawima sibina yit egbal. Thou crownest the year with thy goodness, and thy paths drop fatness. Vecharnetis, and in the eye male's generosity, amet, ametin atak edajale. The eye crown is the year. Some look at this psalm right here because the harvest season right here, as also for the harvest season, a new year or the new harvest season, like a new year for the harvest psalm. Vecharnetis, ametin. The wilderness, Midrebedau, and his wilderness, Midrebedawum, and his wilderness, Midrebedawum, Sibin, fatness, Yitegbal, satisfied. He satisfies, is satisfied. Kutar asara hulet. Ye midre bedat rarocha yirekalu. Korepto chim bedesta yetat ekalu. They drop upon the pastures of the wilderness, and the little hills rejoice, rejoice on happiness on every side. Ye midre bedat of the wilderness, the Midrebeda, yeah, Midrebeda, Tararoch, the mountains of the wilderness, Yerekalo, Yerekalo, are like well watered, are wet, are well watered, Koreptochim, and the hills, and the hills, Koreptochim, Bedesta, Bedesita, Desita, happiness, joy, happiness, Bedesta, Yetatekalo. The sense of being girded, you know what I mean? Being girded. They're girded with happiness. Happiness is, they wear happiness like a girdle. Kutar Asara source, verse 13. Masamaria ocham and gochina lebesu. Shelekochima behila te shefenu. Bedesta y chohalu y zemralu. The pastures are clothed with flocks. Masamariawoch, the pastures, Masamariawoch, where you pasture the animal, like the, say like the suburb of the pastures. Masamariawoch, mengochina lebesu, mengoch, the mengoch, the flocks, lebesu, lebesu. In other words, the pastures appear as though they are clothed. They're clothed with the flocks, even the flock of the sheep and the living baraka, Jehovah. Masa Mariawochim and Gochina Lebes, so the pastures are clothed with flocks. Shelek Ochim, Shelek Ochim, and the valleys, the Shelek Ochim, Be'ihil, Be'ihil at the Shefenu, they are covered with ihil, with grain. The valleys, think of the valleys here, Shelek Ochim, Be'ihil, in grain to Shefenu. Here KJV says the valleys also are covered over with corn. The word here, Bamarin in the midst of Kedus, is Ihil, Ihil, grain, like the grain offerings, the valleys, Shelek Ochim, the Shelek Och, the valleys, and the valleys, Shelek Ochim, the Ihil to Shefenu. They shout for joy. They cry out, but they cry out in the sense of shouting in happiness. Interesting here because we have a mezmor. This is a mezmor, zemra, to chant. They also sing. KJV has, they also sing. In a sense here, they also chant. Yes, I harvest him, 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 harvest him.
Well, let the righteous be glad. Let them rejoice before God, before God, before God, before God.
Glass! Rastafari, glass! Rastafari, glass! Rastafari.
Up right here, earth is the Lord's. Here is the Amharic to the Akebeka. Earth is the Lord's. Here.
መዝሙር 64 በቅንፍ 65 ለመዘምራን አለቃ የዳዊት የምስጋና መዝሙር። አቤቱ በጽዮን ላንተ ምስጋና ይገባ፣ ላንተም ጸሎት ይቀርባ። ሥጋ ሁሉ ጸሎትን ወደምትሰማ ወደ አንተ ይመጣ። ያመጣ ነገር በረታበት፣ ኃጢአታችንንስ አንተ ይቅርትላል። አንተ የመረጥከው በአደባባዮችህም ለማደር የተቀበልከው ምስጉን ከቤትህ በረከትን ጠግባል። ቤተ መቅደስህ ቅዱስ ነው፣ በጽድቅም ድንቅ። በምድር ዳርቻ ሁሉና በሩቅ ባህር ውስጥ ላሉ ተስፋቸው የሆን አምላካችንና መድኃኒታችን ሆይ ስማ። በጉልበትህ ተራሮችን አጠናሃል፣ በኃይልም ታጥቀሃል። የባህሩን ጥልቀት የሞገዱንም ጩኸት ታናውጣል። ከታምራት የተነሳ አሕዛብ ይደነግጣሉ፣ በምድር ዳርቻም የሚኖሩ ይፈራሉ። የጠዋትና የማታን መውጫ ደስ ታሰኛቸዋል። ምድርን ጎበኘሃት አጠጣሃትም፣ ብልጥግናዋንም እጅግ አበዛህ። የእግዚአብሔር ወንዝ ውሃን የተሞላ ነው፣ ምግባቸውን አዘጋጀህ እንዲሁ ታስተናዳለህ። ትልሟን ታረካለህ፣ ቦይዋንም ታስተካክላለህ። በነጠብጣብ ታነሰልሳታል፣ ቡቃያዋንም ትባርካል። በቸርነትህ ዓመትን ታቀዳጃል፣ ምድረ በዳውም ስብን ይጠግባል። የምድረ በዳ ተራሮች ይረካሉ፣ ኮረብቶችም በደስታ ይታጠቃል። ማሰማሪያዎች መንጎችን ለበሱ፣ ሸለቆችም በእህል ተሸፈኑ። በደስታ ይጮሃሉ ይዘምራሉ።
Psalm 65. Praise waiteth for thee, O God in Zion, and unto thee shall the vow be performed. O thou that hearest prayer, unto thee shall all flesh come. Iniquities prevail against me. As for our transgressions, thou shalt purge them away. Blessed is the man whom thou choosest and causest to approach unto thee, that he may dwell in thy courts. We shall be satisfied with the goodness of thy house, even of thy holy temple. By terrible things in righteousness wilt thou answer us, O God of our salvation, who art the confidence of all the ends of the earth, and of them that are afar off upon the sea, which by his strength setteth fast the mountains, being girded with power, which stilleth the noise of the seas, the noise of their waves, and the tumult of the people. They also that dwell in the uttermost parts are afraid at thy tokens. Thou makest the outgoings of the morning and evening to rejoice. Thou visitest the earth and waterest it. Thou greatly enrichest it with the river of God which is full of water. Thou preparest them corn, and thou hast so provided for it. Thou waterest the ridges thereof abundantly. Thou settlest the furrows thereof. Thou makest it soft with showers. Thou blessest the springing thereof. Thou crownest the year with thy goodness, and thy paths drop fatness. They drop upon the pastures of the wilderness, and the little hills rejoice on every side. The pastures are clothed with flocks. The valleys also are covered over with corn. They shout for joy. They also sing.
Yes, the vow, the earth is the Lord's harvest time. Here for the first day, clean hands, pure hearts. Niki kapai, mubar lebab. Nikai and I clean our hands, purifying our hearts. Here the first day psalm in the Hebrew, Queen Makeda right here, of clean hands. That's right.
You have clean hands and a pure
Yes, one of the themes of Psalm 24, the psalm for the first day as chanted in the temple of Yerushalayim, according to that Davidic order, man after Yahweh's own heart. So we say, Yishtabeach, Yahweh, hey, Yahweh be praised, Yishtabeach. So here we have the Nazir, and hail up to Shalom, to Wyndham, to I and I, Wyndham, Ross, Kadir Abdi had asked, well, what if with the Nazir and the Nazirite, what if one was bald? It was an interesting question. So we get into that question and some more of the details right here. Still have some of the basic questions and the advanced questions, but just to zoom in on the Nazir, the Nazarene, the Nazirite, kind of an overview. Who was the Nazirite in the Old Covenant? Who was a Nazirite in the New Covenant? Question, of course, comes up, was Yeshua, was he a Nazirite? It says Nazarene. Are these two things the same? But one more tune right here for the first day, Shavua Tov, Shavua Tov, a good seven to come. Melkam Ehud, beautifully good first day right here. Psalm 24. Yesh kabod, yesh, there is glory.
מזמור תפגנת, ודוד מזמור, לאדוני הארץ ומלואה, תבל ויוש ובא, כי הוא על ימים יסדה, ועל נהרות יכונניה, מי יעלה בהר אדוני, ומי יקום במקום קודשו, נקי חפיים ובר לבב, אשר לא נשא לשאר נפשי, ולא נשבע למרמה, יישא ורחה מאת אדוני, וצדקה מאלוהי ישעו. זה דור דורשיו מבקשי פניך יעקב סל. שאו שערים רעשכם והנשאו פתחי עולם ויבוא מלך הכבוד. מי זה מלך הכבוד? אדוני עזוז וגיבור, אדוני גיבור מלחמה. שאו שערים רעשכם ושאו פתחי עולם ויבוא מלך הכבוד. מי הוא זה מלך הכבוד? אדוני צבאות, הוא מלך הכבוד, סלע, 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 סלע.
Bring forth the Bible. Bring forth the Bible. Bring forth the Bible. Bring forth the Bible. Bring forth the Bible.
Well, here. On this Naso 35th sabbatical reflection here on the first day right here, unpacking some of the themes, one main theme, the Nazirite. Vow, being Nazirite, question here from one of I and I Habarim was, well, what if you're bald? So this kind of led, you know, to some other unpacking of this Nasoi Tarosh, lift up the head, KJV, take the sum. So here, Shema Yisrael.
Kedar Abdi asks, what if you're bald and you want to vow the vow of a Nazirite? I would say if you're bald, according to the terms and conditions, according to HaTorah, what is written, you can still vow a vow to be separate. But as far as calling it the vow of the Nazirite probably won't, you know, really apply there concerning the hair part. But to the interest in that particular question, the small still voice spoke and we heard, and remember that Joseph had shaved himself. Remember? Joseph had shaved himself. But here the patriarch Yaakov, right, is now blessing his sons. And here he says, the blessings of thy father, speaking to Joseph. It's the final part of this verse right here where it says, and on the crown of the head of him that was separate, him that was separate. Look up the word separate there. The word separate there is the H5139. It's the word Nazir. We have the word Nazir. So let's see if we can understand this right here. So Nazir actually means to be separate. So the here aspect right there is interesting. But one, according to Joseph's example, seeing that Joseph in Egypt, to kind of conform, not to stand out so much, you know, as a Hebrew, you know what I mean, as one to the Egyptians was more uncivilized, he basically shaved his face, no doubt shaved his hair, you know what I mean, bald his hair, his head, but still he was separate. This is why his brothers didn't know him, because, you know, they, you know, their woolly hair and their beards, you know, they look like Hebrew. They look like a Peru, right? They look like a Hebrew. But they thought that this man here, Haish, she's the Egyptian, this man here, you know, who's the ruler of Egypt or underneath the ruler of Egypt. But Joseph, according to the word of the father, the blessing of the father, he was Nazir. He was Nazir from his brethren. So it's possible for one to still be Nazir, right? Nazir, that is to say, separate. Here in the Hebrew right here, it says, Berkot Abika. Berkot Abika, the blessing of thy father. Berkot Abika. Gabrua ala Berkota Horai. Ad Taiwat. Gibota Olam. Tehiyayen le rosh for the head, le rosh Yosef, for the head of Yosef, the head of Joseph, ua le kadkod, the crown or the top, ua le kadkod, the kadkod is like the crown of the head, it would be like the top of the head, almost like where someone's and ones wear the mulkas, the yarmulkas, right on the top, you know, where some say there's that, you know, the top of the head. It says here, U'l-e-k'ar-kod nezir. U'l-e-k'ar-kod nezir achayo, his brothers. So here we have Joseph as a nazir. So it's possible for one to still be separate. So the main idea of nazirite is the separate aspect. The here becomes, you know, an aspect of, you know, of this here, but still the principle of being separate. Hold on for a moment. Let me see if we have this right here. Looking at the time here, got 2 minutes. Going to want to ride up with this today's daily psalm right here. But we want to just see whether it says, yeah, boom, here goes. Genesis 41:14. Mirror Numbers 41:14. It says, the Paro, the great house, sent and called Yosef. And they brought him hastily out of the dungeon, and he shaved. Right? Italicized, it says himself. But the italicized words in the KJV are not there in the Hebrew and the original scripture. So the sense is that he shaved and changed his raiment and came into Paro and came into Pharaoh. So, yeah. So Joseph was Nazir. Joseph was Nazir. Here, brothers and sisters and brothers, going to write up today's daily psalm. But give thanks for the question. Still going to headrest it and listen to the small, still voice. And if there's more, right, that John reveals, we can share and we will share. But right here, speaking of the Nazarene, something that Tony Rebel has this tune right here. It's called the Nazarene vow. That's I-9 vow, the Nazarene vow. But what about the Nazir? Stay tuned.
I'm
Yes, 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 brothers and sisters, sisters and brothers, something's old, something's new from a previous Naso right there. We didn't get time to, like, you know, edit and chop it up, you know, and make it like an ever-ready audible, but there's a real section that we go into some details of the Nazarene and the Nazarite, you know, explaining the differences. There are differences right there, but also some of the... Yeah, I think we're coming back on. Yeah, here we go. That was a good one's a sample.
Nazarene, the Nazarene vow. Interesting right there. Let's kind of push this. We're going to push this up along the basic questions here. We have basic questions and we have advanced questions here for this 35th degree Vinai sabbatical studies, as well as some discussion topics as well, right? Also to touch on the priestly blessing as well. But here, let's push this question up to the top right here. And it's question 11 on the basic questions right here. What is a Nazarite vow? Question and answer, basic question. What is a Nazirite vow? More better spelled in the English, N-A-Z-I-R-I-T-E. Sometimes we see it as N-A-Z-A-R-I-T-E, but more better in the English because it's Nazir. If you read the if you see the Hebrew, it's Nun Zayin Yod Resh. That's N-Z-Y-R. So it's Nazir. It's not just the non zain resh, which could be Nazar. But with the Yod there, it's the E sound. You have the E sound, Nazir. So anyway, what is a Nazirite vow? It's a voluntary vow. What is a vow in Hebrew? Neder. A neder is a vow, right? A votive offering, right? Word, sound, power. Words of thy mouth, meditation of thy heart be accepted in thy sight. Neder, that requires consecration, separation, setting apart, right, for a specific or specified season, a specified period of time. The nature of the vow, right, the nature of the vow is not described. It's a voluntary vow, right, for a specific season. The nature of the vow is not described. Next question right here, question 12 right here. From what were Nazirites to abstain during the time of their vow? From what were Nazirites? Now, here's the interesting thing for many of I and I as Rastafari, especially in the earlier years for many of I and I, when we read certain things, you know, at that stage, we wasn't really on the diligent study, but, you know, like most ones read a verse and, you know, go figure and everything. The way Numbers chapter 6 reads, some of the elders, God bless their souls, some of them have gone on to glory, but still there are some who believe from everything that grows on the vine. So some minor mine and some ones would not eat anything that grows on the vine, according to the interpretation that, yes, I and I Locks is the Nazirite. We say there's a likeness there, but we're in the Brit Chadasha. It's about the King of Kings, right, and his Christ, by the teaching of his majesty. This is why when I hear the tune by Tony Rebo, I say, interesting. He said Nazarene. He says Nazarene vow. One might say it's a mistake, but I see that a mystic in it. Not a mistake. There's a mystic value in that right there, right? But some ones and ones have believed by poor maybe understanding of the script that it meant to, you know, abstain from everything of the vine. And it's recorded that some of the elders from such a time did have that interpretation. But specifically, it's abstention from wine and fermented drink, vinegar, all great products, cutting their hair, and coming near a dead body or a corpse. Once again, according to what is written, right, it was abstention from wine and fermented drink, vinegar, all grape products. That's what it's talking about, the grape, all that grows on the vine. So when some read that part in Numbers chapter 6, right? Even I, at one time, I thought so. And, you know, as we kept studying, growing, we recognized, oh, the whole context. Well, actually, as we got into the language, I think it was reading His Majesty's Bible, the Amharic, and also referencing the Hebrew, we got to recognize by the language of the language, right? Getting past the KJV ambiguity. The KJV ambiguity, I like that. The KJV ambiguity, getting past that, we got to recognize it was specifically speaking of the grape, yeah, I mean, of the everything that grow of the vine, speaking of the grapevine, right? So this is specifically concerning all grape products, cutting their hair, and coming near a dead body. I think the significant thing about the Nazirite vow, for especially for I and I as Rastafari, let's recognize that the first Rastafari, right, they were comb some. They called them comb some. They said, you know, comb their hair, you know, have maybe short crop like black mine, you know, would have, you know, back in them days. You know, many of them were clean faced too. There was even a spiritual cycle, spiritual evolution, as it were, because the first proclaimers of Rastafari among our people from we could say from Ethiopia, you know, from east of the River Nile, right, to the Americas, to the Caribbean, to all points in between, was by regular, you could say, once lost, now found, Ethiopian Hebrews, Israelites. You know what I'm saying? And they didn't have locks. So the first Rastafari were not locksmen, as we would say today, right? And we should not disrespect them. You know, woe to some of the locksmen them now who grow locks and beard and ting, and they think that the elders who first proclaimed, you know, like even the Leonard Percival Howells and the Pinnacle community, we've heard it from ones and ones. And you probably could find the audios and the video out there where some man of mine, you know, have disrespected the elders, right, the first proclaimers and the congregation and camps of the first proclaimers, you know, because they did not have locks. You know, brother, this is not a hierarchy. It's not a hierarchy. Hear. You hear me? It's not a hierarchy. It's the Ivine hierarchy, right? So it's the respect I and I elders, you know, not what particular hairstyle they have or they don't have. Now, what's interesting is that those first proclaimers who did not have locks and also, you know, were following the popular worldly Greco-Roman, you know, shave face way, they didn't have beard either. The next stage of Rastafari, right, was the beard men, because many of them, in taking witness to the man who is the sign and the seal, in his times he shall shew, who is the blessed and only potentate, the King of Kings, Lion of the tribe of Judah, they began to recognize, oh, there's a precept, the beard, as they started to study scripts, that the beard is a precept. The beard is a precept, and not to round the corners of one's head. That means that, you know, some of these hairstyles that we have, like you have fade on the side, you know, the fade on the side, or like the army cuts, you know, that is not for I and I. So we get the beard man next. And then, as man continues to grow and study and reason and also do their research, we had the Mau Mau and different ones. People talk about the Sadhus in India. Yeah, we get that right there. But what's closer to I and I paradigm directly, you know, it's like the Mau Mau. Even the Bahitawi, even closer than that is the Bahitawi. So we have an ancient order even among the Israelites of Ethiopia and the true church and the professing, EOTC, Ethiopian Orthodox Tewahedo Church, the Bahitawi. Now, the term Bahit in Ge'ez, it means to be alone, literally, Bahit, right? Bahiti. If I say in Ge'ez, Bahiti, Ana Bahiti, that's to say in the Ge'ez, I'm alone, right? So that's the idea of separate. So I had to point that out because they also grow, right, the locks and have a, you could say, an ascetic, you know, a separate and ascetic, a discipline, a kind of a monastic discipline right there. So as I and I people, especially the Rastafari, called chosen faithful, started to learn and grow, this is where the real inspiration, right? Now, by comparison, we can see that people around the world in different cultures, right, have locks, even the mind in certain cultures and orders and discipline do grow their hair. Like even among the Far East, right, and the Chinawi, the Chinese and Japanese and other Asian people of the Far East, If you look at some of the old things, even the Buddha and everything, they would have the little bun at the top because they would basically have their locks tied into a bun at the top. So different peoples grew locks for different reasons. Some things are just like we have the ear. We all breathe the air. We all see sunlight. We all laugh. We cry. We eat. We, you know, all these things we do. So there's some things that are just universal, right? Just to point that out right there. But for the Rastafari, you have to recognize the first ones were not, the first ones were black man, you know, say woman and child, but black man that did not have locks and even did not have beards. But as they grow and they study the scripts, and as they grew in grace and the knowledge, they recognize, you know, even looking at His Majesty always has the precept. It's interesting, His Majesty and certain ones always keep those precepts, never violate those precepts. But even there were ones around who sometimes, you know, they probably shaved up them face. But, you know, as Revelation says, you know, Revelation says a good word to, you know, ones and ones who, he who want to be holy, let him be holy. You know, here, here, here. Next question right here. That was question 12 right there. 13. Name some Nazarites from the scriptures. Can you name some Nazarites in the scripture? Now, of course, but of course, one's probably going to name Samson, right? Samson. In Judges chapter 13, verse 7, we got Shamshon, right? Samson, right? But also, did you know that Shemuel, Samuel, Hannah's boy, right? Shemuel, Samuel. In 1 Samuel chapter 1, verse 11, he was a Nazarite, right? And here we are speaking about some Nazarites that according to the scripts here, at least Samson was a lifelong Nazarite, right? Judges 13 and 7. Shemuel, Samuel also appears to be a lifelong Nazarite. 1 Samuel chapter 1, verse 11. Absalom, did you know that Absalom, David's son, he was a Nazarite. You know, he was a Nazarite. It's an interesting thing in the narrative when you read and you understand what you're reading. In the conspiracy that Absalom had against his father, right, he had a custom. He had long locks, right? And he said that he's going to go to poll, P-O-L-L, to poll his hair. Polling his hair, because his locks were said to be long and heavy, what he would do, he would shorten it. It was a tradition for even those who did have locks to shorten it, especially among the soldiers and the warriors. We would shorten our locks. We would still have our locks, even if we carried our locks as not as a vow, but just as the way we chose to express ourselves. But on the battlefield, you know, when we was going to battle, either we would tie it up or we would shorten it because we don't want, you know, a man to try to punk us by grabbing our hair. So, you know, we need to look at those things because some might say, great luck, long, all the way down to the ground. Yeah, it could be dangerous, too. Real world. So Absalom, too, he says to his father, like, yeah, Dad, I'm going to go down to such and such. I'm going to trim my lock. But he was actually conspiring against his father, Absalom. Then if you know the fuller story, David sent his cousin and leader of Joab, the leader of his army, he sent him after him, you know, to bring him back. David didn't want no harm done to him, but some of the mighty men of Israel, the brethren of David, the soldiers of David, they were like, how could Absalom do this, nigga? You the next king. How could you do this, man? You know, so some of them had something in for him, like Joab. But the interesting thing is, he told his father he's going to take some time away so he can, like, you know, pull his locks, you know, go through his custom of shortening his hair because hair is getting rather long. He didn't shave his hair, definitely shave. I know some of mine say, don't even put no scissors. I know that's kind of your folklore custom. I'm talking about John teaching. I'm talking about practice that's verifiable. You know what I mean? But what he did, he lied to his father. And then ultimately, when he was on a run from the army of Joab, who was hunting him down, the intent that David gave them to bring them back, but Joab had intent, obviously, to kill him, right? So anyway, when Absalom is running away, he get on a donkey or something, and he goes into some low bushes. You've probably heard about this. And he get caught up in the tree by his hair. How ironic. But Absalom, just to point out that Absalom also appears to be a Nazarite he appears to be a Nazarite as well. John the Baptist. John the Baptist was a Nazarite. Yes, Luke chapter 1, verse 15, right? John the Baptist was a Nazarite. And also Paul appears to be a Nazarite. According to Acts, you didn't know, Rabbi Shaul, Rabbi Saul, the apostle to the Gentiles, Apostle Paul, he was a Nazarite. According to Acts chapter 18, verse 18, and also Acts of the Apostles chapter 21, verses 22 to 26. So Paul had the locks too. You didn't know, right? That's what it says, like when you read that portion, Acts 18, 18, Acts 21, verses 22 to 26, you'll find that, you know, he said he had to, you know, he had a vow on him, and then there was other ones who had a vow on them as well, and they went to fulfill their vow, and they shaved their head. That's the indication, because that's according to HaTorah. Next question here. Does the word Nazarite have a connection with the word Nazareth? Does the word Nazirite have a connection with Nazareth? From the KJV, King James Version, ambiguity, it would appear so. But the truth of the matter is no, right? Not a direct linguistic, etymological, direct connection. In other words, they are not from the same root, just to point that out. No, they are two different Hebrew words, and they have two different Hebrew roots. And even in the English, where they spell Nazareth with a Z, like Nazarite with a Z, Nazarite properly has a Zion. But if I'm correct, I think Nazareth has a Tzadeh, right? When we say Yeshua HaNotri, Notri is different than Nazir. Is Nazir Notri? You see how those two words are different? Notri, or even Natri, and Nazir. They're not the same. The word Nazir comes from the verb Nazar, right? Nazir comes from Nazar, which means to consecrate or to separate. Whereas the word for Nazarene comes from either two. There's two close Hebrew words, right? One is Netzer. Netzer is branch. Netzer is branch, like a branch, you know, like a branch of a tree, right? A shoot, a branch of a tree, a Netzer. Netzer, right? Or from the verb, right? There's a verb to guard. The verb to guard, or the verb to watch. There's the verb to guard, and there's the verb to watch, right? Now, Nazareth was the name of a town that was said to be located in the north of Israel, where Yeshua lived. When the Gospels say, he shall be called a Nazarene. No one will say, see, that's Nazarite. No, read it again. He shall be called a Nazarene. And then say that he shall be called a Nazarite. He shall be called a Nazarene. They are not saying that Adonai Yeshua would be an oath taker. Again, when it's written in the Gospels that he shall be called a Nazarene, they are not saying that Yeshua, Robeinu, Einai Rabbi, the Rabbi of Rabbis, Black Lord and Savior, Yeshua HaMoshiach, would be an oath taker, or a vow maker. But rather that he is the promised branch of Yahweh, Yahweh, according to Yeshayahu, Isaiah chapter 11, verse 1. So the connection with when it says he shall be called a Nazarene, right, that is connected with Isaiah chapter 11, verse 1, the branch of Jehovah. One more question, basic question right here. Was Yeshua HaNotri, Jesus of Nazareth, was he a Nazarite? Was Jesus of Nazareth a Nazarite? Well, he may, based on what we know and what the scriptures say. You know, we could imagine whatever we want to, but based on what the evidence says, the best we can say is that he may have taken the vow at some point. There's nothing specific that he took the vow. If one says, well, he was because he's of Nazareth and Nazarene, well, obviously you need to get into the Hebrew and the study Chavarim and don't misinterpret based on the KJV ambiguity, right? But he may have taken the vow at some point. But he was not a lifelong Nazirite within that sense, or a Nazirite from birth. There's nothing in the scripture that says that when Mariam, Holy Mary, when she had him, she did like Hannah. Hannah basically made a vow on his behalf. And we know Samson also was said to be a Nazarene, and they raised him as a Nazirite, right? Why would we say this? Well, you remember Yeshua, he touched the coffin of the widow's son. You remember that? He went with the dead body when he raised it. You recall that right there? According to Luke chapter 7, verse 14, right? He also visited Lazarus, Eleazar's grave. He visited Lazarus's grave, right? And according to what we read in the scripture, he presumably drank wine. And it seems as though he kind of liked to drink wine, right? On a certain level. I mean, not to in moderation, but we know what they said. You know, behold, a wine bibber, a glutton, and all of that, they said. Matthew 11:19. So we just hope that that kind of maybe clarifies. Of course, I know the more reasonments to come forward, right? As we mentioned, that Nazir, you know, is related to the word crown, right? Nazir is related to the word crown, right? There's some advanced questions as well. You can look that up, the H53, where is this right here? H5342. But we'll get to the advanced questions. Just want to touch a little bit more on the Nazirite and the Nazarene right there. Oh, yes, sir.
I Blessed is he who in the name of charity and goodwill shepherds the weak through the valley of darkness. For he is truly his brother's keeper and the finder of lost children.
Warning, warning, been warning them from morning. Hey, yeah, yeah. Hear the voice of the Most High, Jah Rastafari calling. Remember I tell ya, blessed is the man, blessed is the last year.
Ethiopia stretched forth her hands and gave us the Redeemer of all man. Defender of the faith, and Ethiopian is the captain, the chief field marshal, sergeant. Bowing at his feet, 72 nation, Ras Makonnen was crowned conquering lion. A Baba Janai, father of Africans, with Empress Menenai stand at his right hand. Meanwhile, in a Jamaica land, holy for trial and tribulation. Chastisement was upon all African, but some man did they kill all Rastaman. What kind of celestial that to do a call fun? Trim them and bring the whole of them a station. Never in the name of my King of England will I ever live to see the Rastaman redemption. But when the 2-6 clash, that's when the plane land. King of all kings touch down in Kingston. Would you believe? So said, so done. Busta man, she blind, couldn't see when the king come. Some of them deaf and missy, some of them dumb. When they rise up against a little of the kingdom. You politician with your evil agenda. Anyhow, you did just remember, I is the man that walketh not in at the council of the vagabond them. Till us it's if that shit put the fire upon them. Lava splash, lightning flash, thunder crash upon them. Queen Elizabeth and them a plan it from when I say Jamaica. Prison we a drop it upon them. Coffee with prison yard man a pack it from when. Tell Cameron say that is not a problem. Poor Francis and all them Vatican friends. A fat with two of us a put the track in upon them. I check with schedule and them a map it from when. Through the power of the chin it we slap it from them. Still I see I a God and we are God's children. Eventually we grow to be God's children. We have to go and do the works we still I see intend. Empress Menen, she had the strength for women. Divine feminine, that's a the vibe where she bring. When sex met her thing, she destroy everything. Yet still in the womb, life is within. She had the melanin and carbon light in my skin. Highly still I see slug a liar with the sling. Mussolini foot get tied up with the string. Them sitting here require I am a fisting now, follow all them evil agenda. They gonna remember I
tell ya, blessed is the man, blessed is the last year. Remember I tell ya, blessed is the man, blessed is the last year.
Feel my eyes.
Remember.
Ashrei Tivhar Uatik Arev Yishkon Hatzreka. Happy or blessed. Blessed is the man whom, in Psalm 65, verse 4, the words, is the man whom is not there. As in the Hebrew, Ashrei, Ashrei, to be happy, happiness. The Hebrew sense is the happiness, not a feeling, but a state of being. The Beatitudes of Robeinu Yeshua HaNotri, of Jesus of Nazareth, when he says the Beatitudes, is the Ashrei, the happiness, happiness. Tivhar, 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 Bahar, Bahar to choose, Tivhar, one whom you chooses, the one whom the thy chooses. So the happy one, to say the happy one, Ashrei Tivhar, or Tikarei, Tikarei, to Karab, Karab, to draw near, and to bring near, Yishkon, Yishkon Hatreka. Yishkon, to shakan, to dwell, the Shekinah, Shakanya, right there, Yishkon, Hatzareka, as when Judah, not Iscariot, had asked Roveno, how is it that you will manifest yourself to us, the disciples, the Nazarenes, and not to the world? And he says, well, if one love him, they will keep his words, and his father, our father, his father will love him, and we will come and dwell with him and make our abode, the Yishkon, Yishkon Chatzareka, to dwell in your courts, in thy Chatzarot Chatzareka. May we be satisfied with the goodness of thy house, the holy place, the set apart place of thy temple. Nishba'ah betub beitika. May we be satisfied. Nisba'ah, slika, nisba'ah, to, like to sabah, to be satisfied, sated. Nisba'ah betub, the goodness, tub. Right, modern Hebrew will say betub. Right, the more ancient African Shemitic pointing betub, beteka, bet, house, beteka, the ka, speaking directly to he who be, we be, kedosh, hekaleka, hekal, the hekal is a temple, hekaleka, ka, the eyes, temple. It's very interesting because in the Brit Chadasha, speaking of our bodies, we having that gnosis, that knowledge, you know, that divine science to know, science, scientia to know, to have that gnosis that our bodies is that temple within the Brit Chadasha sense. So that dwelling is to be an I and I. But here, the context of the psalm, happiness, the beatitude is the man whom thou choosest. And bring us near. Just to zoom in right here. Ashrei tivchar ua tikareib yishkon hatreka. The man whom thou chooses. The man whom thou chooses, or the one. Actually, tivchar, the I chooses. The happy one, the I chooses. It can be brought out like that as well. Seeing that the words man, whom is not there. Every Israelite, every Yisraeli, as a member of the consecrated, a set-apart nation, a kingdom of the Kohanim, a kingdom of the priesthood. The terms that are found here in Psalm 65 in the King James Version, verse 4, and the Hebrew, verse 5, these terms here, Tivchar, Tivchar, the I chooses, U and Tikarei. And the eye bringeth near, draweth near. The terms choose and bring near are used of priestly, of the priestly ordination in Bamidbar, right? In the fourth book of Moshe, the Hebrew book that's called Numbers chapter 16, verse 5, these key words. So understanding, understanding, come to overstand the psalm in its full sense. For the Psalm of David, a man after Yahuwah's own heart, happiness, the beatitude, the one whom thou choosest and bringest near. Ashrei tibchar ua tikareib. Dwellest in thy courts. The visit to the temple was for the Israelite up to like 70 AD, a sacrament, a korban of his membership in Ha'el, Ha'el, the almighty power, Ha'elohim's household. The goodness of thy house, the spiritual refreshment that the sanctuary, the Mikdash, right, that is offered. Here, here, here. Yes, I. So right here, here, here. Let's catch up on some of the basics. We focus on the Nazirite, the Nazir, and look a bit more, hopefully, you know, to build on that, to see that even though in English, the two words, Nazirite in the KJV, N-A-Z-A-R-I-T-E, and Nazarene in the English, in the Latin, they put the Z there. But Nazirite has a regular, you could say, sign, while Nazarene, right, the Nazarene, the Nazar, which means to guard, to hedge, to guard, to keep, almost like a guardian sense. It's interesting because in one of the Psalms, it appears where Dawid, I think it's 119, where he says how he has like kept things like the precepts, but the word is like from the Nazar, not Nazar, but Nazar. So getting into that a little bit more, let's just review right here some basics here for this Shabbat Naso, Sabbath lift up, Sabbath take the sun. Now, as you recall from the previous, the Bar Midbar, right, the previous 34th degree of our sabbatical study, Bar Midbar is the name of that 34th sabbatical, as well as the name of the fourth book, Bar Midbar, and it means in the wilderness. The later on naming of it has to do with the content, of course, the numbering, the accountability. Now, in Bar Midbar, counted the three clans of the tribe of Levi. Now, remember, Levi was not to be counted with the other 12 tribes. Lewi, tribe separate for the Holy One is Levi's inheritance. So the tribe of Levi that would assist, they would assist HaKohanim. For the principle is that all of the priests are Levites, but not all the Levites are priests. They will assist the Kohanim to perform the Avoda, the work of HaMishkan, of the dwelling place, the tabernacle. So the word Mishkan has to do with the dwelling place, the sanctuary. And then we have even in the psalm where it says Yishkon, that he causes him to draw near Utik Areb, causing to draw near Yishkon to dwell Hatzreka in the I courts, speaking of the principle of the holy place. So now of the three clans, the Kohathites were given prominence. Why? Because they were responsible for carrying the most sacred objects of the Mishkan, of the tabernacle, and also because Aharon Ubanayo, Aaron and his sons, HaKohanim, collectively, so Aaron is like the Moshiach, right, and his sons are also anointed, but Aaron is the Christ in the camp according to the Hebrew Bible principle. Right, because Aaron and his sons, HaKohanim, were the leaders of that clan. In order to serve, however, a Levi, was required to be between the ages of 30 and 50, and an additional census was taken that listed 2,750 Kohathites that were eligible for service. So now this brings us here to some of the Q&A, some of the questions and answers right here, 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 here. Now, we touched on questions 10 in the audible you heard earlier, questions 10, actually 11 to 15. The questions, what is a Nazirite vow? Question 12, from what were Nazirites to abstain during the time of their vow? And a vow is like an oath, taking an oath, a votive offering, votive will, from one's will, like saying what one word sound and then seeking to fulfill that. Right? That's the sense of the vow. Question 13, name some Nazirites in the scripture. 14, does the word Nazirite have a connection with the word Nazareth? we say not a direct connection, but it's interesting some of the indirect and prophetic connection between these terms. And question 15, was Yeshua Ha'adon, put respect on the name, was the sovereign, the Lord, the boss, Yeshua a Nazarite? But here, let's just go over some of the basic questions again, because there's more in this 35th than just a Nazarite vow, but it's very interesting as we compare it with the Haftarah reading, you know, concerning Samson, you know, in particular Samson as one of the examples. But once again, right here, basic question 1 to 10 right here, just again, an overview. What does the word Naso for Shabbat, Naso, the 35th sabbatical, what does Naso mean in the Hebrew, Hebraically? It means to lift up, directly to lift up, Naso from Nasa, to lift up. And it's translated in the KJV in this context of the take, Naso et Rosh. King James says, take the sum. The Hebrew directly is lift up the head. So the Hebraicism of lifting up the head refers to like a head count or a census. Question 2, what were the Shemot? In the Hebrew, the Shemot is names. Interesting, the second book of Moshe that's called Exodus from a Hebrew perspective is called Shemot, the names. What were the names of the three families of Lewi, of Levi, that were to serve at HaMishkan, at the sanctuary, the tabernacle, the dwelling place? The Gershoni, the Gershonites, Merari, Merarites, and the Kohati, the Kohathites. These were the three, the Gershonites, the Merarites, and the Kohathites. Question 3, what clan of Lewi, of Levi, was Aharon, was Aaron from? Aharon, Aaron was the grandson of Kohath and the son of Amram. Aaron, Aharon's family represented a subset of the Kohati, of the Kohathites. Now note that Aharon was the seventh generation from Abraham. Abraham, Yitzhak, Yaakov, Lewi, we have Kohath, Amram, and Aharon. Question 4, who was put in charge of all Halloween, of all the Lewim, of all the Levites? Aharon, Aaron's sons, Yitamar and Eliezer, or Eleazar, Eliza, Itamar and Eliza. Question 5, what were the age requirements for the Avodah, the service, the Avodah at HaMishkan, at the tabernacle, age requirements? Well, a Lewi, right, a Levite, must be between the ages of 30 and 50 and 50 and 50 years of age. Between 30 and 50, and as we read more after 50, they no longer are required to do the heavy lifting, because in the context of the wilderness, the tasks, the duties, the responsibilities, the numbering is like accountability, you know, that who would do what. And after the age of 50, a Levite was no longer required to do what we could say the heavy lifting, but would become like an elder to the younger Levites that was coming into the service, the Avodah. Question 6, how many men, Anashim, were counted from these three families, Mishpachot, that were within this age range, in this age range? According to the scripts, 8,580. 2,630 of the Gershonites of Gershon, the firstborn, 2,750 of Kohath, and 3,200 of Merari. Merari was the youngest son. Now, these numbers also have other interesting scientific and mathematical and even sacred geometry significance, you know, but we will hopefully, y'all willing, be able to unpack that. Question 7, in due time, what, after these basics, what were the three camps of Yisrael? Did you know that Yisrael, according to HaTorah study, there were three camps, the tabernacle, the Mishkan, was the central camp. We could say the heart. You know, even looking at a plus sign, a true cross, we can see the tabernacle, and at the heart of it, the central camp, was a tabernacle that was surrounded by a fourfold camp, the plus sign, the true cross, a fourfold camp of the Levites, Halloween, who were surrounded by, right, the fourfold camp, right, the fourfold camp of the 12 tribes, of the 12 tribes. So the tabernacle at the heart, and then the Levites in the fourfold camping, and then the 12 tribes outside of that, we say cipher, in a fourfold camp. Outside the camp, outside of the mechana, so to speak, the mechanaim, outside of the camp were the gerim. The gerim were like the strangers, the sojourners, the strangers, the gerim, and also the ritually unclean. So outside of this inner, so we have this accountability, this structure, this order right here. And outside the camp of Yasharal, of Yisrael, were the cattle, were the gerim, were the strangers or sojourners. And, you know, in the sense of Yisrael, they'd be like nationalized if they continue the tribe, you know, as Yisraeli, not of the birth, you know, or descendancy, but they're part of the commonwealth. Outside of the camp were the cattle, the gerim, the strangers, but also the ritually unclean. Question number 8. What was Moses, told to do with the ha-mitzorim, the lepers, the mitzorim, the mitzoras, the lepers, and also why? Question 8. He was commanded to put them outside of the three camps, the triune camps, the three camps. Interesting that we have the fourfoldness, the Levites, and almost like a double, you know, a double fourfoldness, because outside of their camping in the tabernacle was the fourfold camping of the tribes of Yisrael, Yasharala, right? But then we also have the, you know, the gerim, the unclean, the cattle on the outer side. So it's like verse 4 and 3, right? As we see collectively, even the 7 right there. But Moshe was told concerning those who were lepers or defiled to put them outside of the three camps so as not to defile Ha'am, Amo Yisrael, the people of Yisrael, Yasharal, and the Mishkan, and the sanctuary, the dwelling place of HaKadosh, Baruch Hu, Baruch Hashem. The camp was to be holy. The Mechanaim was to be set apart. In other words, the Kedus and the Kadosh sense right there. Question 9, who else was to be sent to outside of the Mechana, outside of the Mechanaim, outside of the camp? Who else? Those who were unclean by reason of an, quote, issue, a zav, a issue. Now, those issues are talked about, and there's many of them, some that may apply more to men and a few to women, but those who were unclean by an issue like some flowing, like, you know, bleeding or other kind of, you know, like quarantine in a sense, bring out that sense. And those who were defiled by contact, right, with Hametim, with the mutan, with the dead, like a dead body, dead ones, or some dead, right? Question number 10, what were the people, right, Ha'am, Amo, Yisrael, required to do before the Midbar, right, journey, the desert, you know, the wilderness journey began? What was Amo, Yisrael, the people, required to do before the Midbar journey began, before the desert journey began? They were required to confess their chet, lay down the chet, lay down the missing of the mark, the falling short, the lack, the ukri, or translated as sin, confess their sin, make full restitution, plus the 20% or the one-fifth. So like one stole, so confess they stole, and then make that restitution, also a fifth of the value of whatever was stolen was to be added to that, the one-fifth of the 20%, and to offer a ashama, a guilt, a guiltiness, you know, a trespass, also called the trespass, or in the Hebrew, the guilt offering for the kapar, right, for the covering, for the atonement of that. This is what they were to do before they began their wilderness journey. So right here, here the 1 to 10 questions. Yes?
Keep up the teaching of His Majesty, for we no one, no devil, philosophy, feel it in the one cup.
Yes, yes, yes. Yes, yes, yes.
Feel it in the one cup. And we still find time to rap, to rap.
Have some time here to rap right here. So from the last three of the basic questions into some of the more advanced questions right here. Hopefully we have a time to at least just share some of the discussion topics. But question 16 for the Shabbat Naso, Sabbath lift up, Sabbath take, like to take the sum. Question 16, what was the procedure if a man suspected ishto, esheto, or seto, his isha of sota, or swerving, directly in the Hebrew sense, but brought out as infidelity? What was the procedure? Well, now, according to what we have in HaTorah, the husband, the Ish, would bring Ishto, his Isha, Eshet, his Oset to HaKohen, to the priest, with a plain barley offering that was called a grain offering for jealousy, or in the Hebrew, it can also be zealous, the same word, zealous. Seems as though zealous could have a positive side, while jealous often is connotated to have a negative side. But what's interesting is that the kana'e is the same word, but it's interesting here in the example, it gives like a twofold sense. When that husband, that spirit of zealousy is there and he suspects and he's correct, but when the spirit now of jealousy is there and he suspects and he's incorrect. So he was here by doing this, the Israelite Ish, unlike other nations, was told, let's stop taking matters into our own, you know, hands and our own, you know, as we suspect things, because sometimes what about when you are wrong? So the husband would then bring Ishto to HaKohen with a, like a mincha, like a kind of a plain barley offering, a grain offering of either zealousy / jealousy. HaKohen, the priest, would take holy water and put it in a cup and mix it with the dust of HaMishkan, the dust of the tabernacle floor, to make it what is called here bitter water. He would then write on a scroll a curse or an imprecation that described the woman's punishment written with the sacred name of Yahawahe, of He Who Be Who He Be, HaKadosh Baruch Hu Baruch Hashem, and then immerse it, with this writing, immerse it in the water so that the words of the oath dissolve into the cup, into like the chalice, the cup. The woman, the Isha, was then given the option. She had the option either to confess, right, the vidui, her chatiyat or chet, her sin, her missing, her falling short, lacking, or affirming, right? You could say yaying and amening, admitting, you know, her innocence by saying amen to the so-called curse or the imprecation, right? The harsh, you could say a harsh oath. If she insisted on her innocence, she was forced or made to drink, according to the instruction here in HaTorah, to drink the waters. Now, if she was guilty, right, she and her lover would die a painful death. But if she were innocent, Ha'ilahim, Ha'Elohim would vindicate her, because here she's accused and this becomes like an incident. So she being innocent will be vindicated, right, with a future child. And also in the context, it's not brought out with an easy childbirth. You know, not every childbirth is the same. Some women having many children know that.
and others know that from other experience. But this woman, being vindicated of this accusation that would have proven false, would be vindicated according to her Torah with a future child and easy childbirth. Question 17. When Hamishkan, the tabernacle, directly in the Hebrew, the sense of the Shakan, the dwelling place of HaKadosh, was completed, the princes, the Nasim and the Roshim and the Rasses, princes of the tribes, they brought gifts for Ha-Luim, for the Levites. What were these gifts and who received them? What were these gifts and who received them? Well, there were six covered wagons and 12 oxen that were then divided among the Gershoni and the Merari, the Gershonites and the Merarites. The Kohati, the Kohathites, did not receive these gifts. Why? Lamazeh? Because they were required to carry upon their shoulders, to carry the sacred objects like the Ark, the Aron HaBrit, the Ark of the Covenant, on their shoulders, to bear. That's what I mean, to bear it on their shoulders. Right. So here, and that section also has to do with coming up right here, question 18, with Hanukkah. The princes also brought a, what the translator calls, quote, a dedication offering, end quote. More for I and I, a livication offering or a Hanukkah, like an initiation offering or a reinitiation offering to the Mishkan. What was this? What was this? Well, each Nasi, each Rosh, each prince, each head gave one silver plate and one silver basin filled with fine flour mixed with oil for the grain offering, for the Mincha offering, one golden dish full of Aishens, the Ketoret, and several animals for whole Olot. Ascension offerings, Holocaust offerings, whole burnt offerings, the sin offerings, and the shalamim, the peace offerings. The peace offerings right there. Now, what's interesting about the dedication offering is that it has a lot to do with the Maccabee holiday, you know, that we call the Maccabee fighting holiday, Book of Maccabees, known as Hanukkah, and also gives us insight into why at that time they reflected on HaTorah and used that after the Greeks, the Seleucids, had defiled the temple and there was a holy war, right? And after the victory, the whole temple and the Abodah, the service, was reinitiated, renewed, and that's what is the Hanukkah, right? Renewing the tabernacle. Right, renewing the temple. Advanced questions right here. Get into as many as we are able to touch on right here. Question 19, beginning at question 19. Why did HaElohim, why did the power, the almighty power, the Netzer of Netzers, why did HaElohim allow his holy name, the Hashem, to be dissolved in water for a Sotah, one who swerves, go astray, Sotah, right, to drink. Why? Even Ha'el, Ha'ilahim, allows Shemo, his name to be dishonored for the sake of Shalom, for the sake of peace between a husband, and a Isha, and a wife. A husband and a wife. So here the reason, man, as one say, well, why would HaElohim allow his name to be dissolved, like seemingly dishonored? Well, he would allow so for the sake of shalom between a ish and a isha, between a husbandman and between his wife, ishto, shato, oseto. Question 20. From where did Ha Kohanim get the water for HaSotah, for the Sotah, the one who has gone astray to drink? Where did he get the water? From the Kior. The Kior is the name of the bronze basin. That's the one that the woman of Yisrael gave their Heteru, the Hathor mirrors for, ensuring their consecration to Yahweh. And then what was happened, what was done with that, a basin for the priests, right, to wash their hands and feet before they entered into the tent, the tabernacle, the Mishkan. So they got the water from the Kiyor, the brazen basin. Now, some Yehudi Judaic tribe and tradition says that the metal was donated, right, and the Torah also, you know, implies this, by the virtuous woman, right? Proverbs chapter 31, verse 10 to 31, by the virtuous woman of Yisrael Yasharala, who foresaw, said these were virtuous women, even like prophetesses, who foresaw vanity. And they forswore off of vanity and preserved the purity of the mishpacha and the Beit Av, the house of the father, the family, while they were in Mitzrayim, while they were in the Sematawi, Smaitawi, the two lands known as Egypt. Question 21, why did Hailehim seek and desire for HaKohanim, right, for the priest to bless Amo, his people, the people in Shemo? Why did Elohim seek for the priest, the Kohanim, to bless, to Baruch, right, to Baraka, the people, Amo, in Shemo, in his name? Well, Halloween, the Levites and the Kohanim and the priests were Yisrael, Israel's Torah teachers, direction, instruction of Yahweh, of Yahweh, truth and life teachers, who were given no inheritance, but required, they required the teruma, the contribution, the donations. In the Hebrew sense, it's like to lift up on high, the up offering. They require the teruma, the contributions from the community, from the 12 tribes, from the rank and file, Yisraeli, Yashareli, right, Israelite community. Hailehim Ha'el, the Almighty, gave them the honor, the kavod of conferring baraka, the blessing, upon Amo, his people, Ha'am, the people in Shemo, in his name, in the Hashem, in the holy name, Baruch Hu, blessed be he, Baruch Hashem, as a, quote, repayment. This is seen as a repayment for the peoples, Amo Yisrael, the rank and file Israelites, the 12 tribes, care of the Levites, of Ha, the Lewim, the Levites, Ha Lewim. Now, just as they needed the support, so Yisrael, Israel, Yasharala, needed via Baraka. In other words, it wasn't like they could just bless, like they say, bless up yourself. You know, maybe in some new covenant grace, but Hebraically, according to teaching his majesty, that's kind of like nonsense in that sense. You always, when you understand the principle, you know, the spiritual principle. So as one needed the other, right, they needed the support, right, so did Yisrael. So did the rank and file Israelites need that support, right, of the Baraka. You know, the baraka, the blessing, the words of the mouth. Yes, sir.
Thank you. Whatever you have done. Thank you, my brethren, for all your contributions.
This discipleship radio broadcast has been made possible by donations from audience and listeners like you. Give thanks. Thank you very much, Miss Ghana.
Thank you, whatever you have done. Thank you, whatever you have done. Thank you, whatever you have done.
Hear, O Israel. Hear, O Israel. What does Shema Yisrael, Yahweh Eloheinu, Yahweh Achad, hear, O Israel. Hear, O Israel. The Lord, our God, The Lord is one. What does that really mean? And why is it important? Important.
Yeah, so right here, the bracha, the blessing. Right here, the priestly blessing. Just to get it.
And the Yahweh spake to Moshe, Moses, saying, speak to Aharon and to Benaiah, his sons, saying, on this wise ye all shall bless the Bnei Yisrael, the sons, the children of Israel, saying to them, Dabir il Aharon wa il Benaiah wa lemor, koh, tivarku. Tevarku et bnei Yisrael amor lahem. The Yahweh bless thee and keep thee. Ye barekeka Yahuwah we yisha mereka ka. The Yahweh make his face shine upon thee, and be gracious to thee, Yair Yahuwah Panayo Eleka, we are Huneka. The Yahweh, we be lift up his countenance upon the eye, and give the eye shalom, and give the eye peace. Yisa Yahuwah Panayo Eleka, we Yasem Aleka, Shalom. And they shall put my name upon the Bnei Yisrael, and I will bless them. We sawu et shmi al Bnei Yisrael wa'ani e barekem. And here.
Yes, Yisrael. So right there, just going to the basics of the priestly blessing. And this brings us right here with advanced questions for Shabbat Na. So question 22. Why is the law of the Nazir, the Torah, the direct instruction of the Nazir, written just before the priestly baraka, the priestly burake, the priestly blessing, word, sound, and power of prosperity and increase? Why is the law, the Torah, direction, instruction of the Nazir, written just before the priestly baraka? Imarish. Yes. So here, bringing us to question 22, a Nazir separated himself in consecration, right? Setting apart sacred, you could say sacredizing, in that sense, setting apart, right? Being separate to Ha'el, Elohim, Ha'elohim, by avoiding things that led to vanity. So the Nazir, the principle here is that he separate himself in a consecration to Ha'elohim, to the Elohim, by avoiding things that would lead to vanity. Therefore, he will be rewarded with the baraka of the Birkat Kohanim. So it's an interesting connection right here between, in the same chapter 6 of Numbers, we have the Nazir, right? Wow. It's falsely, badly transliterated as Nazarite, actually the Nazirite. Right? That's where the confusion with Nazarene comes in. But the connection with this being written and this being directed just before the priestly baraka is in the fact that the Nazir, the one separating himself or herself in the consecration to Yah, right, to He who be Eloheinu, our power, the Almighty, by avoiding things that would lead to vanity. Therefore, he or she will be rewarded with the baraka of the Birkat Kohanim. And that's the priestly blessing that's right towards the end of chapter 6, but it's all contained in the same chapter. So here, question 23, what does the word Nazir
mean chaberim. Now nazir, that's properly spelled is N-A-Z-I-R. But like we said, the King James Version, you know, has a poor translation, poor transliteration there. It's N-A-Z-A-R, and that's what causes a lot of confusion there. Okay, we're going to go a little bit over right here. We see we're already at, you know, the 4 o'clock hour, and our board, we won't be able to service the board anymore. But just in this word sound, give thanks, brothers and sisters, here this now and in the forwards. So here, let's bring up Nazirite in the KJV. Numbers, Bamidbar, Numbers chapter 6, verse 2. Right, where it says, speak to the children, the sons of Yisrael, and say to them, whether when either I, the man or woman, where either Ish, right, or Isha, shall separate themselves to vow, the word vow, nadar, to vow, make a votive offering, a promise, positively to do or to give something to Elohim, right, a vow of a Nazir, properly Nazir, the KJV has Nazar. But as we look at the Hebrew root is not N-A-Z-A-R, but more N-A-Z-I-I-Y-Y-R with a yod right there, Nazir. One consecrated or devoted one, Nazir. One who is untrimmed, like speaking of the vine being untrimmed. It's linked in its root to separate, right? And also has a sense of crown. And we start to get into some of the deeper study of it, but it also applies to a prince, a Nazirite, from the figurative, say, connection with an unpruned vine. So as a vine gets pruned or is left unpruned, this is like an unshorn Nazirite. And as the translation most are in the English are used to, KJV, and others like it, but especially the KJV, Nazarite, they have Nazarite. And by false alliteration, false lettering, it gets confused with Nazareth. But they don't have the same Hebrew roots, and both the A in Nazarite, N-A-Z-A-R, is wrong right there, and the Z in Nazareth is also the wrong letter, but because English is lacking, cannot fully express, you know, the African Shemitic, perhaps that happened, but it's a false alliteration that it gets sometimes mixed up with Nazareth, right? Nazareth, which more goes to the point of guarding as a sense of to guard and also branch. So we have another form with the Netzah. It sounds like a Z, but it's not really the same as Zion Z. So just to bring that out, right there. But here, just to fulfill this here, the word Nazirite right here, we have, right, Nazir is related to the word for crown, the word crown, right? Nazer. So we have a Nazir and a Nazer, like a crown. Right, like a wreathing, almost like, you know, when you vine and plait something, a wreathing. Now, Ibn Ezra says the Nazir wears a figurative crown for his mane, locks of long hair, singles him or even her out as one who has broken, right, the bonds of passion for the fleeting pleasures of this world. And the Ethiopic sense, the Ethiopian Highland, Ethiopian Hebrew sense of the Bahitawi, right? Some would call the monastic orders, separate orders where they grow the locks long, also brings out this core scriptural sense of the Nazir. Question 24, why must a Nazir not cut his or her hair? And what was finally done with it? Now, to indicate the reason why they don't cut their hair is to indicate this interest in the pursuit of, like, physical beauty in the sense of the vanity of humanity and the insanity of humanity. But only, right, but focusing only or mainly on the inward, right, that inward beauty of the nefesh of the soul. That here was later, according to what's here, if one was not a lifelong, that here was later shone off, right, and it was burnt upon HaMizbeach, upon the altar, even the brazen altar, right, in the outer court, his or her shelamim. Shelamim are the peace offerings. Question 25. Why was the Nazir, right, required to give a sin offering, a chatat, the chatat, the sin offering, the lack offering, after he or she completed their neder, right, their vow? Why was they required, according to HaTorah direction instruction, to give a chatat, a sin, a lack, to say a lack offering? Why? Perhaps, and because he or she is choosing to return to a less holy, a less set apart state, a less set apart liberty, or also perhaps, and because the initial motive for the neder, the vow, had to do with dealing with the evil inclination of the heart, Hebraically the yetzer hara'a, the inclination to ra'a, like hurt, evil, harm, bad, in that context, the evil inclination of the heart in the first place. And this needed to be cleansed. It needed to be purged according to Jah's direction instruction. Question 26 here. Vance question. Why is the confession, modern Hebrews, vidui, but if we point it in the ancient African Shemitic, Afro-Shemitic, vidui, interesting word, vidui, because vidui, it comes from the yada sense, to stretch forth the hand. From that we get the tawada or the toda, the thanks and praise. We put our hands up in prayer and praise, right? The toda, praise, the hand, has a lot to do with the hand, both in giving praise, right, stretching forth the hands, putting the hands up in like praise, but stretching forth the hands in that sense, also in a sense of confession that Hebraically is known as the vidui, mentioned in connection with stealing, right? Well, this is because all manner of chet, of lack, of missing, of uk, of sin, is essentially stealing me Elohim, from Elohim. Shall we go on right here? Just a few more questions to complete this right here, get into some of the discussion topics in the forward, but the advanced question 27, what are the basic steps of teshuvah, which is interpreted as repentance, but has a sense of a turn, like turning, making a 180 from the wrong way to the right way, right? From your way to Yahweh, to Jahweh. Acknowledgement of sin, right, of chet, of ukri, of sin, of lack, of missing the mark, which is an oral confession, right? Sincere regret for a misdeed, a misdoing, along with, right, a resolve to not repeat, not to ribbit and repeat it, and the restitution, you know, which is returning that value plus a 1/5 or 20% of the value to the person or to the persons who were harmed, i.e. this would be like to say apologizing, acknowledging, right, and apologizing for the harm caused, and also the asking and the seeking of the mechila, right, another aspect of forgiveness right there. Question 28, how is being seduced or led astray similar to going insane, right? This is the sense of the sota. Well, the sages say that the word, the Hebrew word used to describe the woman who, quote, goes astray, that's the sota sense, is related to the word for crazy, the Hebrew word for crazy, like the sata, right, to go insane in that sense. Sinning or ucking up, right, is a form of insanity. and yielded to the evil impulse or the inclination, the inclination ha-ra'a, to the ra-ra, to the evil, to the hurtful, to the unkind, to the bad, the yetzer-ha-ra, leads people to madness, can lead people to madness. Wow, so much pharmaceuticals and all this stuff going on now. Kind of makes sense. But question number 29, how do we see that one who sins, who ucks up, who misses the mark, lacks, falls short in private, will be exposed publicly? How do we see this principle here? Question 29. Well, we look at the sota, for example. Although the sota sinned in private, right, she was humiliated in public. Now, the four ones go off on a tangent and say, oh, look, it's a woman right here, here, here. Most of the law, most of it is required upon the mind, right? So, yes, this might look like a one-away, but there's another level of it. The soul is also she. So this, we can get a spiritual application even to the mind, even from this example that uses the sota or the woman who goes astray. Although the sota sinned in private, she was humiliated in public. So thus, the principle can also apply to the nefesh, the soul, which is also feminine in men and in women. It's the nature, right? It's nature. Your sin, your chatiyat, as they say, your chet, will find you out. The converse is also true. Doing righteousness, right? Doing righteousness in private. Don't let your right hand know what your left hand is doing, so to speak. Doing righteousness, according to that Hebrew idiom, doing righteousness in private leads to being honored. As Rabbeinu Yeshua, I and our rabbi, the rabbi of rabbis, Ha'adon Yeshua says, your father who sees in secret will reward you. The context will reward you openly. Question 30, just a few right here, going to take it to 36 right here. How do the Rabbanim, the rabbis, scholars of Torah, justify the idea of, quote, putting a fence around the Torah, end quote? Some of the ancient scholars of Torah, the sages, going back even into the apocryphal intertestamental times, right, they had this idea of putting a fence around Torah. So how do the Rabbanim, the scholars of Torah, who agree with this, you know, how do they justify the idea? Well, from the prohibition of a Nazir, prohibition of a Nazirite, right, who was forbidden for men to drink, was to eat no grapes or even raisins. Now, there's a deeper kind of a reasonment there, but they use this as a point of reference to put a fence, to guard, in that sense, to guard HaTorah, to guard the directions, instruction. Question 31, where do we see from HaTorah, Jah's direction, instruction, that a married woman must cover her hair in public? Where do we see this in HaTorah, and how is this connected with the 35th sabbatical, Shabbat Naso? Question 31, because HaTorah commands, at this point in the narrative here, commands that the hair of the sota, the unfaithful woman or the woman who is being accused, right,